much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hot Rod Harry, your musical maestro.
Hello, Harry. This is Bruce Wayne.
Hiya, Brucey baby.
That's right, Harry. Could you do me a small favor? A radio announcement.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
A ticking bomb means trouble for Batman and Robin.
Holy, breaking and entering. It's Batgirl.
Quick, Batgirl. Untie us before it's too late.
It's already too late. I've worked for you a long time, and I'm paid less than Robin. Same job, same employer means equal pay for men and women.
No time for jokes, Batgirl.
It's the federal equal pay law.
Holy act of Congress!
If you're not getting equal pay, contact the Wage and Hour Division, U.S. Department of Labor.
And now,
short pause. Hold your breath for the dynamic duo.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:35. It is Wednesday, the 19th of August.
Allie's not getting equal pay, though, is she? Because that would be BS.
No, that's crazy.
Don't be ridiculous.
I don't know any woman that is.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
We'll let Ralph do the proper obituary for TV's Batgirl, who passed away last night. That was the sad news about Yvonne Craig, who was awesome, by the way, and lots of other things. But I'm willing to bet that Ralph will tell us that she was his first crush.
Oh, I bet.
Oh, sure. Wouldn't you think?
Yeah, of course.
For sure.
Yeah, for a lot of us. So anyway, that is coming up. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Wednesday morning. Quick update on the story we talked about at this time yesterday. Remember I told you about the cheating cheaters who cheat that play girls softball in Snohomish, Washington?
Yeah.
Yep.
They threw a game, and the reason they did it was because they were trying to eliminate Iowa, another team in the competition for the Little League World Series. That was their toughest competition. Well,
and they threw it by playing all subs and having them all bunt?
That's right.
That's a pretty solid. And I mean, that's a good way to not win.
To not get caught, too.
Right.
And they told their pitcher to just pretend it was batting practice. Just the softballs right over the plate. Don't try to get anybody out. And she remarkably pitched in, her competitor pitched a no-hitter, remarkably, too.
Yeah.
So anyway, so Iowa petitioned the league and said, hey, that's not fair. And the league agreed, and they forced them to play Iowa in a play-in game for the tournament. And Snohomish lost yesterday to Iowa, so they have been eliminated from the tournament. So.
Karma.
See?
So the cheating cheaters who cheat. And I think, Allie, you would agree that all sports franchises that cheat should not be allowed to play anymore, right?
Absolutely.
Ooh. Yeah, Bean, she's standing by the there's no cheating there's no happening cheating. In Patriot land. It's her stance.
And that reminds me, speaking of the Patriots, here's an update on this story, Allie, that I know you've been watching. The guy who works at the brewery in Indiana, the guy who works at Sun King Brewery in Indiana.
Yes.
They make a product called WeMax Scottish Ale. And people who buy the beer have noticed in recent weeks that on the bottom of many of the cans were the words, Tom Brady sucks.
Awesome.
Stamped into the bottom of the can. And a lot of people had questions as to how that happened. And the reason I bring it up today is because the man behind it has finally been revealed. Not his real name. He goes by his Air Force nickname, which is Biscuit. And he actually agreed to his first interview with the Indiana Star newspaper. And he says that he was saw the whole thing on the news and he was like, screw this guy. I'm like, whatever, man. This is his interview. So he decided to put Tom Brady sucks on the bottom of the cans. And he admits that he is surprised at the reaction that he is getting. He wasn't even sure if anyone would ever notice.
I was just going to say, I wouldn't think anyone would see that.
Yeah, because it's like a little serial number embossed in the bottom of a can, like you always see, and nobody ever pays attention to that. He said, my pops was a little perturbed. He said, don't do any interviews and stuff like that, so I'm not trying to be a media hound about it.
He should have listened to pops.
How old is this guy? I was like, Dad, he's all no.
Let me see if it's like he was.
Pops
like
was he, right. He doesn't give good interviews.
No, he doesn't give good interview. Anyway, this won't surprise you, by the way, that there have been death threats to the plant for putting Tom Brady sucks. Let me see. He says he's been getting messages from people also, though, asking if they can meet him, get his autograph, and give him a hug. The brewery has gotten plenty of complaints. They don't want photos of him circulated or his real name out there. We don't want Biscuit to get stalked, says the manager of the plant. Anyway, so for people who know who Biscuit is, family and coworkers, Biscuit says he has asked them not to talk about it much. We kind of chuckle about it, but I don't want to make a big deal. So he is the man. And by the way, let me just say this as we move on. I'm surprised that management thinks this is funny, too, because most of these stories where somebody goes rogue and puts their individual stamp on some sort of mass product, they get fired for it.
Yeah, like, I guess because
unauthorized use of the equipment to put Tom Brady sucks on the bottom of a can. I can see how a company would go, we don't want people just randomly putting whatever they want on our product.
Not to mention, you might outrage some people who won't buy your product.
Right. That's true. That's a good point, too. Yeah.
So. Although I think everybody outside of Massachusetts pretty much, you know.
Or anyone that read this report and realized it's complete BS. I mean, any of those people with a brain. So you're right. Outside of Massachusetts, not real bright.
Another coworker, by the way, says, Biscuit, I love that guy. I'm a huge Colts fan, and he's my new hero.
Yeah. We'll see you week five, Biscuit. All right? That's all I'm saying. Week five.
Apparently it's odd.
We need to have an intervention with Allie.
I'm sorry. I'm very angry at Biscuit, but thank you for your service.
You're more upset about this than Tom Brady. Okay.
We need to make sure Biscuit knows how to spell Allie and McKay before he goes back to work.
Oh, all right. Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
Oh, yeah. That's how it's done.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
We have Adam Carolla on the program today.
Yeah.
We have Felicia Day.
Ooh,
coming in the studio. She's written a book called You're Never Weird on the Internet. And then in parentheses, almost.
I love her so much.
She's a great gal.
She's adorable.
She is a great gal. That's a word I never use.
I don't think I have never used
that word. Brand new Internet Roundup. We have Ralph's Video Vault. This I can't wait for. This is Scooby-Doo and Kiss in a rock and roll mystery. This was an actual movie that was released on DVD.
Like how long ago, Kevin?
A month ago.
Like a month ago.
Ridiculous.
I can't wait. Because it has to be terrible, right?
How dare you?
Well, it went straight to DVD.
Scooby-Doo is awesome.
Right.
And Kiss is awesome.
Right. That's what I meant.
I have high hopes for it.
That's what I meant. We also have Craig Robinson in the studio. How about that? Our old friend Craig Robinson talking about his show, Mr. Robinson, which is coming up on its finale.
3 weeks in.
We're 3 weeks in and he's coming up on his finale. That seems odd.
Yeah.
But we'll ask him about that when he comes in. We also have your final pair of tickets to see Mumford & Sons at the Troub this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:56.
Wednesday morning, Ralph Graben arrives. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Heard you guys talking about that brewery that puts the Tom Brady sucks on the can.
Yes.
How do we get some of that beer? Is there any of that
the greatest
left?
Brewery ever?
But it made me think of two microbreweries in Philadelphia who are celebrating the Pope's visit by releasing two new kinds of beer in honor of the Pope.
Beer in honor of the Pope?
Yes, because that's how you celebrate things in Philadelphia.
If right.
something's good is happening, you make a beer about it.
Okay.
Because they like to drink a
but
lot.
He's the Pope.
He's the Pope.
All right.
So the Cape May Brewing Company is releasing a new beer called Yopo.
Yopo.
Yopo. You only pope once. Doesn't even make any sense.
Nope.
But I like it. And the Philadelphia Brewing Company is releasing something called Holy Water.
Oh, jeez.
But Holy Water is spelled the way Philadelphians pronounce water. W-O-O-D-E-R. Holy Water. So you can drink some holy water while you're waiting for the Pope to show up and bless Sam Bradford's knees. So the Eagles have a good season drinking holy water.
Wow.
Holy water!
Yeah. I heard you.
Then you get a water ice after you have the holy water.
Yep.
And then everybody's happy.
Philadelphia.
Hey!
Period. I've been saying that my whole life. I'll be saying it until the day I die.
Come on!
He has.
Philadelphia. I've heard him. Come on, be nice to me. Especially today as we deal with the bad news that actress Yvonne Craig has passed away. I'm glad we got the death tuba for that.
Well, the death tuba is for every death.
Yes.
For people who get offended.
Except for Hitchbot.
Well, Hitchbot, as it was pointed out to me yesterday, was not real. So.
Yeah.
Also,
you were very upset by the death of Hitchbot, though.
More
if I remember,
than anyone else
you were emotionally
ever
attached.
Talked about on this show.
Well, because
you were really sad for society.
Because Hitchbot was murdered, you guys. That's why.
Well, he wasn't murdered because he wasn't alive.
He was torn apart by the water drinkers. Is right. Why.
You know who else didn't get the death tuba? Uggy.
No, that's
from
true.
The artist.
Uggy the dog didn't get the death tuba either. Mm. That's right.
I noticed, Bean.
Yeah,
I was legitimately sad over that one.
Wow.
Yvonne, of course, was Batgirl on the 60s Batman TV series. She passed away on Monday. She was 78 years old today. Passed away after a battle with breast cancer. Not only was she on Batman, one of the biggest shows on TV, she was on the other biggest show on TV in the 60s, Star Trek. She was the original Orion Green slave girl that Captain Kirk slept with.
You know, is that right?
Running joke about him sleeping with green skinned
sure.
aliens. She was the insane olive-colored Orion slave girl who wanted to have sex with and then kill Captain Kirk. Which, you know, sometimes the ladies act that way. Got her career start with the Ballet Russe. She was a ballet dancer. Went on to star in two Elvis Presley movies, opposite The King. It happened in the World's Fair and Kissing Cousins, and had a very successful career throughout the 60s and 70s. Did a bunch of TV and movie work. So, sad news that she has passed away at the age of 78 years old.
I wanted to ask, Ralph, if you, I assume you did, had the opportunity to meet her.
I only met her once. I only had the pleasure to meet her once, but she was a lovely lady, very sweet and very charming and very funny. And it is sad for those of us in the bat community to have lost her. First of the major players, really, in terms of, you know, we've lost most of the villains, but time keeps on ticking, man. Nothing you can do about it. Except drink some holy water. Make you feel better. Right? Right. You know what else makes me
Let's
feel
go
back better?
To Yopo.
You know what else makes me feel better? Kelly Brook. She makes me feel better.
Yeah.
She makes me feel better in my pants.
Yeah, I think.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we understand.
She makes this feel better, Kevin. Look at this.
I'm not looking.
No, we got you.
We don't
got you.
We don't need to look.
Pamela Anderson has announced she won't be returning for the new Baywatch film. You know they're making a movie about Baywatch. Big screen, big budget version of Baywatch.
That's with the Rock and Zac Efron. Is that the one you're talking
it
about?
It is indeed. Sure, Bean would know Zac Efron's in it.
Mm-hmm.
He won't wear any shirts in that, will he?
He's awfully dreamy.
So instead of Pamela Anderson running down the beach, bouncing in that red bathing suit, Kelly Brook's going to take over.
Oh, yeah, that's how it's done.
Yeah.
Nope. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Nope. Yep. That's a good choice right there.
Yeah. For those who don't know, she is the British actress model who was just on that horrible lesbian show.
Which
on NBC. The one about the guy's best friend is a lesbian and they decide to have a baby together.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But at the same
time,
he finds the love of his life, who's a smoking hot British girl, Kelly Brook.
One Big Happy?
One Big Happy. Yeah. She was also in Piranha. Remember? She was in Piranha, the underwater lesbian scene?
Oh, yes.
Right?
Oh, yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, that's hot.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you something. I could name 100 scenes from 100 movies that Kevin's seen.
Yeah.
He'd be like, I just don't remember it. I'm sorry, bundt cake.
I remember that one.
But if I say that
yeah,
one,
that's boop, a good one,
clear, sharp, it's etched in his that granite brain of his just right there forever. He'll have that.
That's a pretty good scene.
This is a good scene. Today's celebrity birthdays. Our former U.S. President William Jefferson Clinton celebrates his 69th birthday today. Good old Bill.
How do you think he feels about potentially moving back into the White House?
I can't imagine it would be a negative.
It'd be weird, though, right?
Right.
It'd be so weird for him.
But you go back there, and now you don't really have any responsibility.
Yeah, you just... I just check out the maids, I guess, is all you
Plus,
do.
Plus, I know a lot of girls in Washington, D.C.
Oh, that's true.
Peter Gallagher, 60 years old today. John Stamos celebrates his 52nd birthday. Kira Sedgwick is 50, as is actor Kevin Dillon. Matthew Perry. Is 46 years old. Actress Erica Christensen is 33. And actress Melissa Fumero. How much do we love Melissa
She's
Fumero?
The best.
She plays Amy Santiago on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. She is 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
That's Joy, by the way. That young man singing that song right there is a giant, as you know, Kevin. You met him. And he plays the tiny tiniest little musical instruments. Yeah. Like little toys is what he plays. I don't know why he can't play a full-size guitar, full-size ukulele or whatever, just tiny little instruments. But anyway, you can see him up close playing those tiny instruments Monday here at K-Rock in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. We're going to give you tickets later on this morning. We also are going to hook you up with tickets for Mumford & Sons at the Troub. That's later on this morning as well on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
So here's what happens. Somebody says, hey, did you see that video? And then everybody watches the video, and then the arguing starts. Because, let's be honest, you can't trust videos that are on the internet wholeheartedly. You just can't.
No.
Because so many of them are fake.
Right. But why is almost everyone's default position, rather than watching it, enjoying it, and moving on, why is everything the Zapruder film? Like, why does every angle and every word and every video shot have to be taken apart? Like, why can't you just enjoy it and imagine it might be real? Why do you have to debunk every video you see on the internet?
I can't answer that, but on this particular video, I don't really want it to be true because the girl lights the guy's junk on fire pretty much.
Well, there's that.
I mean, do you want that to be true? You want to go,
why can't Bean just enjoy this?
Why can't we just enjoy that? It's such an enjoyable video. There's a girl. We just tweeted it out. It's on a Facebook page. There's a girl who supposedly catches her boyfriend cheating. He's sleeping. She puts what on his underwear?
Nail polish remover,
yeah.
Now, how do you hold on, Dave. How do you know that?
Because it says it in the description.
Okay. Yeah. Just check it out. I just try to determine what we know and what we don't know about the video. And by the way, as Kevin mentioned, it's on the K-Rock social media, the Kevin and Bean Facebook page and the Twitter account. Watch the video. It's only 25 seconds long. Watch the video and then call us and let us know what you think, if you think it's real or not. I know that there are a lot of ladies, and maybe one of them works at our office, who hopes it's real because this cheater deserved what he got. I do know that.
I hope you don't mean me.
No, I don't.
No, absolutely not. It's horrible. Nobody. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So supposedly she sets his junk on fire, and then she starts screaming at him. And the audio of it. That's her lighting it.
Yeah, that's what you want to cheat on me with my co-worker. You think I was going to find out? You get the out. You ain't go to hell.
So that's some good some good audio right there.
All right. So the guy's laying in bed. He's wearing his underwear and he's wearing socks. Anyone suspicious so far? Who goes
who
to bed wearing their
socks when you're sleeping?
So now do we assume...
Wait, does that strike you wrong, Bean?
Yes, it does.
Socks.
All right. Yeah.
They were dirty. That counts.
They were dirty. That doesn't help.
So that means that he was walking around for a while. So let's establish that.
So okay. He was tired?
Okay.
Maybe.
Who wears socks to bed? Does anyone wear socks to bed?
Well,
no.
Omar just said in my headphones that he does.
Well,
really?
Omar's
so I do sometimes.
Really?
Why?
Well, Dave does just out of laziness. He does. Probably. He's too tired.
Yeah, I'm too tired. I reach all the way down and, you know.
That's way too much work.
Now, is it also suspicious that he is laying in a convenient pose in terms of how the covers are just barely over that part of his body? It's not like he's wrapped up in a blanket and somebody has to come and really struggle to get him into the air.
That didn't strike me wrong.
Okay. So then who's filming it is another question.
That's
that I
another
have.
Good question.
In their bedroom, who's filming it? And apparently it doesn't – does it look to you like it's handheld or does it look to you like it's on some sort of a –
Well, maybe
maybe
she just set it up. I don't know.
Because you don't hear anybody else, and it is curious that this person is in their bedroom. This couple is in their bedroom and there's somebody mysteriously there filming. I don't know. All right.
But the camera doesn't move. I mean, it does look like it's on a
stationary.
Stationary, yeah.
Yeah. So what's your problem with his reaction to the fire, Dave?
Dave's reaction to his problem with the fire is absurd.
Look, one, the way he's sleeping, no one sleeps like that. No one sleeps like a mummy in a coffin. So there's that.
Well, when you sleep, you move around all sorts of different positions.
Yeah, he's perfectly set with both his feet straight up.
You can't say something stupid and then go, there's that.
So there's that, yeah. Two, when she puts the nail polish right, she moves the blanket, she puts the nail polish remover, and then lights it on fire. And his immediate reaction is, oh, look at me, I'm on fire. I don't know if you guys ever had alcohol burn on you.
I have.
It takes a while for it to heat up.
Yeah, because the alcohol burns first. It doesn't burn your skin or whatever.
Why have both of you had alcohol burn on you?
It's a long story.
It happens.
But wait, Dave. Even if his junk is not literally on fire, he would still feel the heat of that fire on his underwear.
Not that quickly.
I mean, is it
not that quickly?
Is it possible? Yeah, but
it's a few seconds. It's a few seconds. I think he would feel the fire.
Yeah, and then of course, you know, the way he swings, like, no way. Do you jump up out first and then start swinging? Because you're not going to identify where it's at immediately.
Okay, that's an odd thing for you to say right there, because I don't understand your criticism of the way he moves.
People sleep through fires when they're in their apartments, in their
this
houses.
Fire was on his junk.
So I'm saying it's fake.
What?
Fake. And I'm the debunker, so,
Dave,
you know.
I just watched it again as you were talking.
Yeah.
And he doesn't move for the first couple of seconds, which makes sense. Like you said, the heat wouldn't get to him immediately. But then he does what I think is a very natural thing, which is start beating at the fire with his hands to try to get it out.
Look how fast he like, moves and wakes up, like, as soon as it's lit. He's like, I'm going to turn
up. Is he going to be groggy?
He's going to be groggy if he's asleep.
Because of Dave now, I want to believe. I want to enjoy it like Bean. I want it to be real.
I don't know if it's real or not, but I think Dave criticizing...
Oh, yeah. Not even a second.
No, it's
not
it's,
even a second.
Hold on a second.
By the way, Bean, he also said, yesterday, you know, you were taught when you're on fire, you stop dropping and roll. He didn't do that.
Yeah, out of a dead sleep, your junk is on fire.
Because he's not dead asleep.
Come on.
Look at that. 1,000. Not even a second.
All right.
Yeah.
Look, I'm on fire. Oh, I'm going to fall off the bed for comedic effect. Wrong.
So you're saying the fact that he fell off the bed makes it fake as well?
I think he's just adding to the video, you know?
Dude, look, you could be right. I certainly don't know. None of us know, okay?
Let's take a guess. What percentage right? What percent? I mean, real. What percentage fake? I would say it's 40-60. I would say it's 40% real, 60% fake.
I am exactly where you are,
okay.
Kevin. 40-60 is exactly what I was saying.
I'm going 25-75.
Oh, so you still think there's a 1 in 4
there's
chance?
There's a
chance.
Real,
even with, even with all your debunking.
There's always a chance.
But he didn't stop, drop, and roll.
Yeah.
He rolled.
Here's my thing.
He forgot to stop and drop.
Yes, Ellie.
Why would she then post this knowing that she could get arrested, all of that? So I'm going to go 1090.
1090?
Really? Yeah.
You believe it less than Dave does.
Yeah, it's so fake.
Kevin, tell Allie why she would post it, even though she it might potentially get her in trouble.
People are stupid.
Right.
And they post stuff all the time that gets them arrested or in trouble. All the time.
And by the way,
it's stupid. You're right.
Are you looking at a woman who set her boyfriend on fire to make then a wise decision about what to put on the internet?
It's a great point.
Again, nail polish remover. It takes a while to burn.
It is highly flammable, though.
Yeah,
it really
right.
Is.
Yeah.
But it takes a while to burn.
Usually, it's just the nail polish remover that's burning until it gets to your skin, which takes a little bit, you know, a longer amount of time.
Okay.
Right. All right. We have a new angle on the socks theory. David is in North Hollywood. He joins us on line one here on the Kevin DeBee Show. David, welcome to Sock Day. What's going on, buddy?
Hello, David.
Hello.
All right.
Hello,
go ahead.
David.
Hello.
How you doing?
What do you think?
We had so much momentum going in this feature until we got you on the air, man.
We're good. Tell us about the socks.
You know what? Your socks would be twisted if you were sleeping in your socks all day.
Boom.
Wait.
You know,
socks would be.
I sit there and watch TV with my socks on, and my socks could just get twisted walking around the house.
Right.
So, in other words, this guy looks like he just got up, put on his socks, then laid back down to shoot a video.
Yeah, he probably took off his shoes and even pulled his socks up.
Yep.
Wow.
Well,
yep.
It looks fake.
I honestly think it's fake, too, but with David and with Dave, the King of Mexico, I think I'm going 50-50.
This David needs new socks because you're getting all twisted watching TV.
Listen, if you're moving in bed, your socks are getting twisted, all right?
And not only that, his underwear should be twisted, too.
Yeah, everything's too perfect.
You have a lot of twisted issues.
You really do. What the hell's going on in your bed at night, David?
We should just talk about that.
A lot of action.
Our friend Craig Robinson, who you know from the Hot Tub Time Machine movies and from The Office, and his new series called Mr. Robinson, joins us next hour here on the Kevin DeBee Show. Brand new internet roundups coming up. Don't forget, more tickets for you to see Mumford & Sons and Adam Carolla all on the way on K-Rock.
Eli Manning of the New York Giants is looking for a contract extension. His contract runs out at the end of this season, and he wants to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
Well, I'm sure they all do.
But he has actually come out and said that. Does that strike anyone weird?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's come off two, like, really not impressive seasons. I don't know that it's his fault. But
yeah, I don't know either. I don't have it at my fingertips. How much of the Giants not making the playoffs the last two or three years has been the team surrounding Eli Manning, and how much has been Eli? I feel like he's been good, but not great. Not Aaron Rodgers great, certainly. Not Russell Wilson great.
Aaron Rodgers makes the most right now at $22 million. And by the way, Eli Manning is supposed to make $17 million this coming season.
Not enough.
Nope. Needs more.
Take it easy.
Renegotiate.
The top guy in the NFL, Aaron Rodgers, 22, and then Russell Wilson's 21.9.
Only because that's a brand new deal just signed this month. It's funny how fast salaries change in sports, especially in the NFL. When he signed his current contract before the 2009 season, he was the highest paid quarterback at $16.3 million. Here we are near the end of that contract, and he's, what, 17th on the list or something like that? That shows you how fast quarterback salaries have gone up over the past few years. It's kind of crazy, and I guess you feel like you don't just want to make a good living. You want to make a statement that I'm the best, and that's why you ask for the most money.
And the guys who can actually play quarterback in the NFL, there are a lot of people who can never make that. They are great in college. They can never make it. They can never actually play well in the NFL. So they sort of have to pay him.
Right. Yeah. And Eli Manning looks around and he goes, hey, I should certainly be making as much as Cam Newton, for God's sakes. Look how long I've been doing this. So anyway, let's find out what is going through the young man's head. Eli Manning, quarterback for the New York Giants, joins us once again on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Eli, how are you? Welcome back.
Hi, I'm Eli.
You are, in fact, Eli. It's very exciting to talk to you for the first time in the 2015 NFL season. How are you feeling? How's practice going?
I'm sad.
You're sad.
Oh, sad. Why, Eli?
We lost the Super Bowl to the Bengals this week. Now I got to go back to the offseason.
No.
Start practicing.
That's just a preseason.
I'm coming, coach.
That's just a preseason game. That doesn't even count.
Whoa.
Eli? Eli?
What?
Come on, everybody. That's impressive.
I was a little confused.
Yeah. Every game is not the Super Bowl. That's the end of the season. If you beat everyone else, then you get to play.
Why don't they call it the End Bowl then?
Well, I just decided to call it the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
you won the Super Bowl that one time, remember?
Yeah, two times.
Two times. Okay, two times then.
Okay, it's right there in the article.
I wasn't looking. I'm sorry.
How do you know the article we're looking at?
Yay, football guy.
Whatever it was. So listen, Eli.
I'm the one who wears the helmet.
Why do you think you deserve to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL?
Because I'm the best there is. I am the best. And I want to make it rain on strippers.
How do you know
in the champagne room?
Okay. Big stripper guy, are you?
Oh, they have boobies.
They do, yeah.
And other parts.
Yes, they do too, yeah.
Right. So, $17 million, not enough for you?
No, I need money to show Peyton that I'm the best.
Well, I mean,
I'm better than Peyton.
Well, don't you think it would be smart of your team maybe to hold off until the end of your contract just so you're not getting paid even more?
No, what if I suck?
That's a good point.
That's kind of the point.
Yeah.
For them, not for me.
Right.
I want my money now.
All right. Just be a smart businessman then, I guess.
Because I want to make it rain on the strippers.
Right.
They have bummies.
Right.
Have you been spending a lot of time in strip clubs?
No, I haven't gone to one yet, but I want to.
I see.
Okay. You hear good things about him.
I hear a lot of things about quarterbacks about deflating your balls.
Oh, that's
funny, Eli. So I'm going to try it. Tom Brady sucks. Tom Brady sucks.
Nope.
Tom Brady sucks.
Nope.
Tom Brady sucks. Nope. Tom Brady sucks.
It's been a while since we've cracked open Ralph Garman's Video Vault.
And now, welcome to Ralph's Video Vault.
Timing. Timing.
Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
I thought maybe we'd do a little explanation going into it, but okay,
we can do it here after we've opened the vault.
The movie we're looking at today is the brand new 2015 direct-to-video animated feature-length film, Scooby-Doo and Kiss, Rock and Roll Mystery. Yeah!
Now, why does this exist, do you think, Ralph?
Because all the kids love Scooby-Doo. He is the most popular character to children in the world right now. Is he could not be hotter.
Huh.
I didn't realize. And also, what's the number one band for kids? Kiss. They love Kiss.
Really? I was going to say One Direction would have been my guess.
Whatever. What? Kiss.
Okay.
The children love Kiss.
All right.
When did this come out?
It came out last week, I think.
Yes.
A couple weeks ago.
It's got to be gold, right?
Here's the thing. I expected it to be awful.
Oh, no.
It's actually pretty fun.
What?
Here's why. This whole thing has been created very much with an eye on, like cartoons, but also very much on the eye on the audience who grew up with Scooby-Doo and with Kiss.
Okay.
So there's a lot of inside jokes. There's a lot of classic Scooby-Doo moments that they sort of make a point of stepping on very heavily so that you recognize that you're watching another Scooby-Doo episode. There's a lot of shots at Kiss that are actually kind of undercurrents. It's very, very cleverly done.
Yeah.
All right, prove it.
Sorry.
Let's close the vault.
It's got a pretty good cast,
right?
You know, at the beginning of every Scooby-Doo episode, they always have to discover what monster or mystery they need to solve.
Right.
And you'd be surprised how many times it takes place in an amusement park in the Scooby-Doo series. And this is no different. This takes place in Kiss World, the animated the theme park that is dedicated to the rock and roll band Kiss. And there's two workers who are working on a roller coaster there, and they come across the Crimson Witch, an evil, evil witch that is haunting the Kiss World amusement park. Much to my surprise, the two workers played by Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes.
And what? You didn't know they were in it?
I did not know they were in it.
How about that?
Here they are now.
What seems to be the trouble?
I don't know. Every photo has some weird red haze in it. But I'm pretty sure I just fixed it. Woo! You smell rotten eggs? Whoa! What? Water buffalo? Water slide. What is it?
Witch!
Give me rock! She wants.
Give me rock.
Give me rock!
So the witch wants rock.
I want a rock!
Rock and roll.
You don't know,
every
man.
Day.
Don't jump to any
all right.
conclusions.
Okay, all right.
The manager of Kiss World, who runs the amusement park, is played by Gary Marshall. Beloved director, writer, actor Gary Marshall is the head of Kiss World.
How did they get these people in this movie?
Because everyone loves Scooby-Doo. Gary Marshall decides he's got to call in the best mystery solvers he can. And, of course, that's our gang in the Mystery Machine, the Scooby Gang.
Only one thing we can do. Get me the hottest mystery solvers in the world.
Look, I can't believe we get to go to Kiss World.
And solve a mystery. It's like killing two birds with one stone.
Or two birds with one cat.
See, because Scooby's dressed as the Catman, as the drummer from Kiss. He's got the makeup on his face.
So okay.
By the way, Matthew Lillard plays Shaggy in this. It's uncanny how great he is. He sounds exactly...
That does sound exactly like...
Like the late, great Casey Kasem. There's some shots of Kiss throughout this movie.
I thought it would be shameless self-promotion by them.
Well, actually, it's not. And what they do is they mock their shameless self-promotion. The manager in this, the manager of Kiss in this, is played by their actual manager, a guy named Doc McGee. He plays a character named Chip Magoo.
To protect his identity?
To protect his identity. And he's one of the suspects. Is he the witch? Because he is the manager, tour manager, and merchandise manager of Kiss, and he wants them out on the road, not playing at Kiss World, because they can make more money, and he can sell Kiss merchandise.
Sure.
And everything is Kiss merchandise. Throughout this entire movie, smelling salts, flashlights, there's a Kiss binoculars. They've got everything that he keeps trying to sell people that is all Kiss merchandise, including this scene where he's telling off the boss of the amusement park.
Every time Kiss comes back into the park, it means that they're not on the road performing and I'm not selling their merchandise. So forgive me, but as far as I'm concerned, this park can wind up in the toilet. Preferably this kiss toilet.
Every time you flush it, Gene Simmons laughs. He's trying to sell the kiss toilet. It's funny.
It's also not far from the truth.
Right. That's the whole point. So,
But so far, all we know is the witch wants to rock.
Yeah, you don't know what kind of rock yet. You don't know what the rock means.
I see.
So the Scooby Gang shows up, and Kiss is debating amongst themselves, amongst the band, whether they're going to let them stay or not. But Starchild, everybody in Kiss has a code name instead of their actual name, but Paul Stanley has fallen in love with Daphne, the hot redhead, which is way creepy when you realize he's like 67 years old and Daphne is like 19. It's just very creepy. But in the animated version, he's just Starchild, and he talks the other members of Kiss into letting the Scooby Gang stick around.
Now, hold on, guys. Let's not be hasty.
What? Really?
Not again.
You know how the eye sees everything? Well, I just caught a glimpse of the future.
Yeah, and I bet the future is a redhead.
You bet. I mean, in a way. Don't ask me how or why, but I think we're going to need these kids to catch that witch.
You're kidding. They're just humans.
Not even all of them.
I know, but the eye never lies.
I guess they're okay.
You think so, Starchild?
I do not like this.
Acting! Kiss is acting! By the way, throughout the film, I don't know why, but Gene Simmons has decided his demon character talks like Ed Asner. I don't know why, but it's a straight-on Ed Asner.
I don't like this. Mary! Where's Ted?
I don't know why. I have no idea why he's doing that voice, but that's how he sounds throughout the whole thing. Here's the thing. What we find out is Kiss is really, they're cosmic superheroes who come from another dimension called Kisteria. And the rock that the witch is looking for is actually the rock that controls the tomb of the Destroyer that will be released and annihilate the entire universe with its bad vibes.
Wow, this just got dark.
Wow, what?
See, it's not your typical Scooby-Doo episode where it's just, oh, old man Jenkins from down on the... This is serious cosmic rock and roll stuff. And so the entire gang has to get into the giant guitar-shaped spaceship and fly to Kisteria, the other cosmic realm, to meet the elders of the Kiss tribe, who played by Penny Marshall.
What?
There's so many drugs going on here.
And so Velma talks to Kiss... And to her gang, says, if we don't work together, we're never going to stop the Crimson Witch. And the elder, Penny Marshall, agrees.
Guys, you've got to stop this. If we're ever going to finish this cosmic boondoggle and get back to solving the real mystery, we need to act like a team. All of us. Even these weirdos.
The sarcastic girl speaks the truth.
The sarcastic girl speaks the truth. And so they all band together to fight against demons and monsters and aliens. Even Shaggy and Scooby discover they can breathe fire. And so they...
sound insane. Do you realize that?
They blast...
You should be medicated.
Some evil harpies out of the sky with their fire breath, and Gene Simmons is impressed.
Well done, pathetic scum.
Thanks, Mr. Demon.
We think.
Yeah.
Well done, pathetic scum. Try new solar panels from Marengo. There's no catch.
So you made this up, right?
No, this is all happening in the alternate universe of Kisteria.
Sure.
But after about an hour of that story, we find out that the Crimson Witch, actually her mist that she travels in is actually a hallucinogenic drug.
Okay.
So the whole thing was a trip. That whole Kisteria subplot.
It's like an acid trip?
It was like an acid trip. And so Scooby and Shaggy wake up after having passed out, and we find out that everyone's been drugged.
Oh.
So it's not this cosmic adventure. It's actually just a basic homegrown mystery.
Oh. Like what happened?
What happened?
You passed out.
I guess at some point we all passed out and woke up here.
We just got a report on the residue. It seems our Crimson Witch is more of a chemical witch.
Her witch haze is really a gas that messes with your senses and creates illusions.
You mean to tell me?
It was all a figment of our imaginations.
Whoa. That's deep.
Yeah, deep.
They're all stoned.
So this is going to make kids who watch it just want to do drugs,
right? Because then you get to go to Kisteria. Fight the Terminator!
or the Destroyer or whatever they were fighting.
Whatever it was.
So it turns out the Rock is actually a gift that was given to Kiss by Detroit, the Detroit Rock City.
Oh my God.
And it's a black diamond. See, the Rock is a black diamond.
Another Kiss song.
Yes. That stops the Destroyer.
Kiss album.
There are long extended action sequences where it's just a Kiss song being played. And they're just running around fighting.
Just filling up time so they can play the song?
Yes. So this is just an animated commercial for Kiss music.
More or less. But who is the witch? Who is this witch? Is it the head of the amusement park? Is it their manager? Is it the fortune teller at the amusement park? Is it the head of security at the amusement park? Well, you know, the final moment in every Scooby-Doo episode is where they pull off the mask and they find out.
So, like, who's the witch?
I thought you'd have guessed when we opened her locker, Shaggy. She's Delilah Domino, the head of security.
Well, I'll be a monkey's uncle. Delilah. I knew it. I didn't really know it, but, you know, I like to be smart. I'm the boss.
Gary Marshall, that's the boss. But how does every Scooby-Doo episode end? What's the famous line?
I would have gotten away with it
if it wasn't for you meddling kids.
Thank you, Allie. Uh-huh. And indeed, Daphne Domino, the head of security at Kiss World, who was trying to steal the Black Diamond Detroit Rock to sell to a competing defense contractor who makes lasers out of black diamonds.
Sure.
You sound insane. Do you realize that? You should be medicated.
She's being carted off to jail. She gives that rueful cry to the Scooby gang.
My plan was perfect, and I would have gotten away with it, too, if it hadn't been for you meddling Kiss. And kids! You meddling kids!
See? Meddling Kiss!
Yay! I'm going to be the one to say it. That sounds awful. That is a terrible movie.
It's awesome. It is
that is
awesome.
Horrible on every level. It's poorly acted. It's
awesome.
Stupid.
It's well acted, and it's imaginatively written and directed.
That's what I meant.
It was a good time. It was time well spent, in my opinion, sitting there watching Gene Simmons do his Ed Asner impression.
So you'll watch it again?
I will, I think, if I'm really stoned.
You got to be
right.
Stoned.
Yeah, I got to be really stoned. Doesn't hurt. Let's close up the vault, shall we?
It is 6:54.
Brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup, by the way, we're going to be telling you about in just about 5 minutes or so, including a video of a woman getting a maggot removed from her lip.
Yeah, I didn't watch that one. That's the only one I'm not going to watch.
It's a big old worm, Kevin, that came right, crawled right into her lip.
No, thank you.
Anyway, Internet Roundup coming up. Also, Mr. Robinson himself from the TV show, our friend Craig Robinson next hour. Rob is here now. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday.
Maggot lip.
Nope.
Does whatever a maggot lips.
That was your favorite of the week, right, Ralph?
Oh, I love Megalip. Megalip.
That's a big old maggot.
Ralph, we're not talking about this. Stop talking about this yesterday.
Oh, Megalip.
No, thank you.
Megalip.
Nope.
How did it get in there? Like, how?
Well, the bot fly, you see, lands on the host body and then plants the egg inside the thing with the whole thing under the skin with having and the doing.
I don't think we need to.
So a fly laid eggs on her lip.
Under her lip, injected the bot fly, lays its eggs into the flesh of the host.
Oh,
so usually it's an aminal,
right?
Usually it's one of them cattle type aminals,
right?
But occasionally it will happen where the bot fly will inject a host human, and they implant the egg under the skin, and that's where the egg grows to maggot stage or larvae, if you will. And then proceeds to grow into the bot fly.
She sure took it well, the girl who was having the maggot removed from her lip. She was not freaking out, as I think most people were.
No, she went in to the doctor. I have this enormously swollen, itchy lip. What's going on? Maggot lip. You got yourself a maggot lip.
And they just... Who's hungry?
Pinned her down and got the old forceps out and just started a-tugging.
No thanks.
Started a-tugging.
Oh, yeah, that's how it's done.
They pulled and They pulled and they tugged. And the next thing you know...
Yeah. What else you got there, Ralph?
Big old maggot.
What else you got?
Big old maggot.
Right.
Big old maggot lip.
What else you got?
Your maggot lip.
What else do you have there?
Hey, lady, your maggot lip.
Do you have some showbiz?
Who wants some?
How can you not... Watch that, Kevin.
I have zero interest.
It's fascinating.
No, not interested.
To see him take a little white, you get the little...
That's gross.
End of a thing, like a little white thing, a speck he gets with the forceps, starts pulling. It's like a magic trick.
That's
but
gross.
Thing, out of her lip pops a 4 foot long worm.
No, well, thank not you. 4 foot, but
it was an inch.
It was at least an inch. Yeah, you're right about that.
No, thank you. Nope.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Correct. I got time for that.
Nope.
Megalip.
Nope.
Yep.
Would you like people seeing things pull out of people's bodies?
No.
What about the big zip ones, like a guy's back, and then they do that, and the bus is like, brah!
No, stop.
We found that yesterday. Allie loves watching extraction videos for that.
Terrible.
All right. Before we get to Megalip, let's say goodbye to the legendary Batgirl from the TV show Batman from the 1960s. Yvonne Craig passed away on Monday. She was surrounded by her family there in the Pacific Palisades. As she passed, she had been suffering from breast cancer that had metastasized to her liver. Not only was she Bat-Dar Trek, her most famous role, but she was also the legendary Green Orion Slave Girl, who wanted to alternately sleep with and kill Captain Kirk in the third season of Star Trek. Many other TV appearances throughout the 60s and 70s. She co-starred opposite Elvis Presley in two of his films. It happened at the World's Fair and Kissin' Cousins. And started her career as a ballet dancer. She was with the legendary Ballet Russe troupe before she moved into film and television. So sad news that she passed away this week. She was a crush to many. Their first TV crush, watching the reruns of Batman on TV after school. I liked her. I met her once. She was a very nice lady. But I was always a Catwoman guy. For those who love the Batman show, it's one or the other, Ginger or Marianne sort of phenomenon. Either
okay.
You were hot for Batgirl, or you were hot for Catwoman, and I was always hot for Catwoman. I liked the bad girl. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Catwoman.
She has two vaginas.
I don't believe that was the case with Catwoman. Let's not go off down that road, shall we? Today's celebrity birthdays. Former U.S. President Bill Clinton is 69 years old today. Actor Peter Gallagher celebrates his 60th birthday. John Stamos is 52. Screw you, John Stamos, looking like that at 52.
Well, at least he looks 35.
You bastard. And he's just boozing all the time, too, on top of it. How do we know? How are we supposed to know that you were boozing all the time and you looked that good at 52? That's just not right.
No, it's not right.
Kira Sedgwick's 50 years old today. She looks great, too. Kevin Dillon is 50 of the acting Dillons. Matthew Perry, 46 years old today. Erica Christensen turns 33. And Melissa Fumero, Amy Santiago, one of that very funny Brooklyn Nine-Nine. She's 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Craig Robinson in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and Felicia Day next hour. A lot of good stuff coming up, including right now a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup. Hit it, Steve.
Wake up, and watch the Internet Roundup.
Yeah. Our producer, Dave, the King of Mexico, is in studio with us. Dave, another good batch this week. What was your reaction? I understand assistant producer Christine not crazy about the maggot coming out of the woman's lip video. What was your reaction when you saw it?
Well, you know, I gather these videos and I watch everything except for worms coming out of people.
Yeah, I can't watch that either.
I can't do that.
I'm with you on that.
I listen to it.
Nope.
I cannot watch it.
I don't want to listen to it either.
Yeah.
But it has a happy ending, though, Kevin.
It's gross.
She walks out of there without a worm in her face.
Great. Let's talk to her then.
Couldn't watch it.
Here's a little bit of the audio. There's nothing gross in this audio of the actual procedure going on. But you should go to kirok.com immediately and see the video.
Opa.
It's a good clip.
Yeah.
Great clip, Dave.
Megalip.
Great clip.
It looks like a French fry when it comes out.
Yeah, I don't know because I'm not watching that.
Yeah.
Here's a funny thing that somebody – we should talk to Felicia Day about this because she's a huge World of Warcrafter. You know, you're connected with all of these people in your headphones. You're listening to other players around the world who are playing games. And this guy was playing – what was he playing? Call of Duty,
Call of Duty, yeah.
And he noticed that another player was singing Coldplay's song Fix You. So he recorded it and then made a video out of it, put music on it, put it up along with Call of – I mean, it's kind of weird. You don't expect a Call of Duty player to be singing something so mellow while he's killing, but it came out to be kind of a cool video.
Enemy spy plane incoming.
He's destroying.
Yep.
And singing Fix You.
I love the internet.
That is in our category of things that shouldn't really go together but kind of do. A couple weeks ago, we had comedian Tig Notaro in. Allie, I know you love her so much.
Love her.
Her new comedy special debuts on HBO Saturday night. It is called Boyish Girl, and she's doing everything she can to get the word out, including standing out on the streets of Los Angeles, pointing out her giant billboard to anyone who will walk by. And it's so fascinating to me how little people care. Like, you would think, like, if somebody said to me, hey, that's my billboard over there, I would at least want to stop and figure out why this person was on a billboard. These people on the street have no time for Tig.
Hey, it's my billboard.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. I feel like she's not going to watch. It's my billboard.
That's awesome.
Will you watch?
No.
No?
Great.
Thank you.
Well, you're watching, no, but it looks great.
Most people don't even slow down, by the way. They just keep on walking past Tig. It's actually very funny. 1 hour ago here at the Kevin and Bean Show, we broke down this video in detail. But if you haven't seen it yet, we're supposed to believe that a woman finds out that her boyfriend is cheating on her. So she wakes him up by pouring nail polish remover on him and setting his junk on fire. Here's the audio of how he woke up that fateful day. Nobody wants to wake up like that.
No, I don't think so either.
Owen Wilson is a popular movie star. We know him and love him as the Butterscotch Stallion, and he is in the Internet Roundup videos roundup this week because somebody decided to go through all of his movies and pull out a bunch of stuff that he says frequently. Now, this surprised me, Dave, because he doesn't write the scripts for his movies for the most part, right?
I don't know.
I don't think he does, no.
Yeah, I don't think
so. I mean, it's just weird some of the things that you see him saying, clip after clip after clip, movie after movie after movie. Listen up.
You are crazier than a road lizard.
You're crazier than a road lizard.
He's crazy as a road lizard.
He's crazy as a road lizard.
People are strange.
Whoa.
Hey, come on.
Come on, Kelly.
Come on. We're men. We're not pinatas.
I can't imagine how much time that took to put together and why.
But, you know, people ad-lib all the time on movies and TV.
Yeah, because
and stuff,
Crazy
so
as a Road Lizard is not something that is
going
to come
up. Yeah, that's
probably
something he brings to you, like, oh, this is my sin. I'm going to work it in.
Right. So, yeah.
It's crazier than a rose lizard or whatever.
Four different screenwriters.
It's a rose lizard.
We did not put that in a script. Exactly. Our friends at Honest are back. They can make any movie sound bad, even when it's a good one like this one, Kingsman the Secret Service.
When a suave British secret agent, who's definitely not James Bond, trains a young protege to definitely not become the next James Bond, supervised by an old authority figure who's definitely not him, and helped by a gadget wizard who's definitely not Q, to fight a bald supervillain in a mountain lair who's definitely not Blofeld, the only way to convince you that you're not watching an actual James Bond movie is to constantly remind you that you're not.
You like spy movies?
I always felt the old Bond films were only as good as the villain.
Why did Samuel L. Jackson lisp so much in that movie? Did we ever figure that out?
I don't know.
Nope. Just a choice?
Artistic choice.
Okay. Dave, I can't believe you put this video in the Internet Roundup of this woman making fun of Taylor Swift. But she has noticed that Taylor is bringing a lot of women on stage with her as she tours around on her 1989 tour. A couple of nights ago in Santa Clara, California, she brought Julia Roberts out on stage. She's brought out the U.S. women's soccer team. She's brought out all sorts of athletes and pop stars. And she thinks it's all girl power. This girl doesn't agree. And this girl wants to make fun of how Taylor will bring anybody out on stage just to make herself look better.
Welcome to the stage, the first woman ever, Eve. And now, on a serious note, please welcome to the stage the ashes of the victims of the Salem witch trials. Yesterday, I drank two iced coffees with a little bit of almond milk and smoked a cigarette. Please welcome to the stage the insane I took afterwards. What do you think of that, L.A.?
I don't know what the hell's going on there. We go to Cincinnati now for Dance Party Friday. This is a reporter there who he's commenting on a – how would you describe this, Dave? This is kind of a rap battle that's going on?
A dance battle that's going on?
No, it's a song. It's a pretty big song by Salento, and he wants to understand it, so he does it. It's called The Whip and Nene.
Yeah, so he's talking about how there has been a dance challenge, though, between Leah Still, who's the daughter of that player, Bengals player, and Riley Curry, right? Challenged her to a dance-off about the whip and the nay-nay, so he decided he was going to do a dance-off, too, and he really, really gets into it, this weatherman does.
Do the stanky leg. Stanky. My leg is so stank right now. Nobody else wants to come in and dance with me because, look, oh, feel the stank just coming off my leg. I got to get some kind of a salve to put on my leg because it's so stank. Yeah, you are equally stank, Jen, with the leg.
Is that the stank leg? Don't you pull it up a little bit?
No, I don't. It depends on the stankness of your leg.
Allie, how come the local news here isn't that much fun?
Oh, I hate that clip so much.
And then every single newscast around the country started doing the whip and nay-nay. Stop it.
But here's why I love this.
I went down the whip and nay-nay wormhole yesterday when watching this. I watched like 75 other videos.
But he went for it. He went for it for a good like 4 or 5 minutes of just doing it.
You know what he wasn't doing in that time? The weather.
You know why? Because this is the weather. Oh, it's hot. No, who cares? People want to see the whip and the nay-nay.
That's true.
Our friend Jimmy Kimmel is back in the roundup. He brought Josh Groban back. You know, he did the Kanye West tweets a while ago. Now he's doing Donald Trump tweets. And it's awesome, as only Josh Groban can do.
Robert Pattinson should not take back Kristen Stewart. She cheated on him like a dog. And we'll do it again, just watch. Amazing how all the haters and losers keep tweeting the name. Face Von Clownstick, like they are so original, and like no one else is doing it.
It's crazy to imagine he tweeted all of that stuff.
It is. Yes. The next president of the United States, by the way. Let's not mock. Anyway, you got to see that whole video. It's so great from Josh Groban. And finally, there's a series of CDs that parents buy for their kids called Kids Bop, and they take all the popular songs, but they clean up the language because you don't want the kids singing some of the songs with the lyrics the way they are intact, right? Well, somebody has made a parody of that. They call it Kids Pop, and this is a great idea. Little kids singing N.W.A. Here's the Kids Pop version of Straight Outta Compton.
Straight Outta Compton, a silly mother lover named Ice Cube from the club called Kids who love their school.
Love the police coming straight from the playground. A young kiddo got it back because he frowned. And I'm the other scholar, so police think they had the authority to make school a priority. Love the police. Love the police.
Yeah.
Love the police.
Love the police.
That is my favorite video of the whole
week. I think Ice Cube is going to catch on.
I love this so much.
You can see all of these videos and so much more at KevinAmin.com or KROQ.com. It's a brand new Kevin Amin Internet Roundup.
Wake up, and watch the Internet Roundup.
Yeah. Right? There it is. Hey. There it is.
Hey.
Turning into a nightclub up in here on K-Rock, Craig Robinson from Mr. Robinson, NBC. See it tonight or you'll never see it in your whole life. Joins us back in the studio on the Kevin Amin Show. Craig, how are you, my friend? What's going on?
Grand and wonderful. How art thou?
Well,
no one's ever said that to me. No one has ever said that, art thou.
We are excited to see you. Yeah. We have missed you. How have you been? Are you happy? Are you well?
I'm all of those things. Yes. Okay. I'm not doing as well with my health as I probably should be. But, you know, I'm still, I can do it. There's nothing wrong. That came out wrong.
Yeah.
I'm great.
Okay. So, for years, Craig has been coming in on the program. We fell in love with him on The Office, and he's always very kind with his time. He comes in, you know, if it's This Is the End, he comes in, or Brooklyn Nine-Nine, he comes in. You know, we've had you on for lots of things. Hot Tub Time Machine movies, you come in, you're always great. And every time you come in, we say, hey, what's going on with the NBC show? And you're like, oh, man, it's coming. And we're like, okay. And the next time, hey, any word on the NBC show? Yeah, it's going to be on the schedule, guys. It's finally here. The NBC schedule is finally here. You've been working so hard for so long. It's finally here. And at least it's paying off with all the love you're getting over it.
It's here. Yeah, I'm getting a lot of love. They're bringing in I haven't seen the reviews. They said I'm in the USA Today.
All right.
Okay, nice. I was just reading on air.
Okay. All right, USA Today review.
But it's a lot of love, and I got to find it. But it's a lot of love, and it is nice. You know, it's like it went so quick, and people, you know, gave it like solid ratings, and we're looking forward to it tonight. You know what I'm saying? So, and it's already over. So here it is.
Okay, go ahead.
Here it is. What?
Read the review.
There it is. Tonight on TV Critics Corner, Mr. Robinson, NBC, 9 Eastern Time, Pacific Time. This lifeless NBC burnoff ends with Craig Star.
What?
I didn't hear that.
This lifeless NBC bird off.
Well, that's not. That doesn't sound.
Can you play some sad music?
Like, it's.
This lifeless NBC burn-off ends with Craig, star Craig Robinson, being wooed away from his nasty, delicious band by Earth, Wind, and Fire, who want to take him on tour with them.
Sounds like a happy ending for Mr. Robinson, huh?
They called you a star?
Yeah, they did. That was
they
very,
did say you
very
started
nice.
The
Thanks,
show.
Mr. Bianco. Appreciate it.
But look, that's just one old white guy. We don't care what he says.
Dude, I don't care. You know why? Because I'm proud of the work that we put in. You can stop the music now.
Yeah, it's okay.
I'm proud of it. Lifeless NBC burn off.
Here's the weird thing,
that's
though,
how bold it is. Yeah,
here's the weird thing, though, is that it's been on two nights where you had two episodes per night, and then it's on tonight two episodes.
Correct.
And then that's it.
That's how they launch shows now sometimes. They did it.
I don't think this, you know. I've ever seen.
And then they're doing the same thing with Gerard Carmichael's show. He's going to be 2-2-2.
Really? So 3 weeks, six episodes. That's how they feel like they get a read on whether the show's worth going forward.
Well, you know, we've been getting a nice read. We've been getting people. Thank you all for tuning in. And even if you don't like it, you know, just still DVR it. I'm still your boy. You know? Come on. We've come this far. So we've been getting a good read. And, you know,
look, the
it's
show's,
exciting. And
the
it's,
show is
and
funny,
it's out
Craig.
There. Thank
the show
you.
Is very funny. And you, as always, are immensely likable. And this has got to be the role that is closest to the real life Craig Robinson that you've ever played, right?
You know, there's some similarities, of course. You know, I'm from Chicago and it's set in Chicago. I was a music teacher. And here I'm a music teacher. I have a band called the Nasty Delicious.
Sure.
My money. And then, because we said the same thing at the same time, and you like pinch somebody, said my money. I don't know. It's that kind of thing.
Really? I grew up with You Owe Me a Coke. That was my thing.
You Owe Me a Coke. Yeah, that's another one.
Okay.
Yeah, somebody pinches and says my money, and then you never get the money. Okay. And then there's, you know, the love of Megan Good, which is real life and fantasy. So there you go.
Yeah, that Megan Good, man. Right?
She's awesome.
She is awesome.
Awesome. And then she got her show.
Okay, what's her show? Is that like you were going to say something else?
Minority Report.
Okay. So, you okay?
Now, Craig, your series starts... You all right?
Yes.
Now, Craig, your series starts with you...
Just trying to burn off a few calories. Burn off. Okay, go ahead.
Look, don't let that get you down,
I'm
going
to get a tattoo. I'm not down. This is what it is. It's like, dude, yeah, like you said, it's one person.
It's one person, and you've been getting a lot of love
for
the show.
Completely wrong.
Right?
Okay?
USA Today? I mean, is that a thing?
Hello-y?
Right?
I know, right?
Look, you know the show
paper
is funny.
Used to be thick. It's thin now. Burn off.
Craig, you're going to have to move past that.
I'm past it. Okay,
we all watched the show and loved it.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
We didn't love it. We liked it a lot. We liked it a lot, but you are so
I love it. And we're going to live tweet it tonight with the whole cast.
Or now, there's two episodes tonight,
yes.
Including the season finale.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
With Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Watch out.
Right?
Can't tell nobody.
Oh.
Yes. Earth, Wind, and Fire is my favorite band. That's how that happened.
We know
boom,
that.
Boom,
how
yeah, you do know.
Were you... As a real life teacher, do you have the look? You, I'm sure you have the talent and the oratorial skills to teach, but do you have the temperament to spend that much time with a bunch of little kids every day?
I am too naive not to have had it. You know what I mean? It's like I didn't know any better. I should have probably walked out the first day, but no, I was cool with the kids. You know, we were. I wasn't big on the administrative paperwork and stuff, lesson plans and all that. It was like, come on, it's music. It's fun. But no, I wasn't. I was okay, I guess.
You left
it.
You left it for Hollywood.
I left teaching to come to Hollywood. Yes. Mm-hmm. Like I said, that was like naive move. Like I never. I mean, looking back, I'm like, wow. I would have stayed if I'd known what I know.
No. You'd have known about that review in USA
yes.
Today.
Look at this.
You'd still be a teacher today.
Don't look at that. Someone take that from me.
I'm going to
take
I'm
it away from
him.
Yeah.
Rich,
just take it.
You could take that as yet another example.
Just take it away.
How does Vanity
give
Retro
me.
Vanity
you
Project?
Must go.
Whatever, Bianco. Burn off.
Is there a part of you that would like to be a musician full time? Because it seems like I don't know which is your first love, music or acting.
All I want to do is play the piano.
Really?
Yes.
Like if Earth, Wind & Fire called today for reals and said, give up this acting nonsense and come on the road with us for full-time member, that would be your new job. Would you do that?
Depends on what they want me to do.
Oh, you would do it.
I mean, what do they want me to do, though?
Because they want you to play piano and sing back.
Exactly. And I would ruin that. So, no, I wouldn't take that.
So you like them too much to ruin
exactly,
their thing.
Exactly.
Right.
Like them too much. Respect them too much. Too much. Every man has a place in his heart. There's a place in the world. Can't erase his fantasy. What you know about that right now? KB.
Mr. Robinson airs tonight on NBC at 9 and 9:30. Please check it out.
Burn on.
No,
burn on.
Craig Robinson is our guest. More with him in a moment right after this on camera. Yes. Our friend Craig Robinson in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, the star of Mr. Robinson tonight on NBC at 9 o'clock with two big episodes. Craig, you've been doing movies and stuff since the last time we saw you?
I have. I just got back from Germany. I did a movie called Morris from America. It's an indie coming-of-age story, indie drama. And it's got this kid, Marquise Christmas. He plays Morris. I play from America. I'm his father. And I, it's about his kid, learning his way around Germany and stuff. And speak German and da-da-da. So I spoke a little German. You want to hear some?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you good at it?
Well, you tell me. Right. Can anybody speak German here?
No.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm really good. Okay. Ich war verheiratet. Meine Frau ist gestorben. Meine Finger einfach zu weit, das verdammte Ding auch zu kriegen.
It sounded like we should have dropped.
Yeah.
It does. We should have a few of those words. Yeah.
No.
Well, German is not a pretty language, Craig.
And actually, on the contrary, there's a beauty to it that I don't think we get privy to because all the movies we say,
all the Germans being yelled at us.
Yes. Yeah,
so in the movies we watch.
How long were you there?
I was there about 17 days.
What did you just
say? I said, take your panties off. I was in, Heidelberg, which is this quaint, beautiful town. It's just quaint. Like, that's the way I describe it. And they got a 1,200-year-old castle. Went to the Heidelberg Castle, and it was, like, kind of a rip. It was cool to be up there at the castle.
It was a rip?
Yeah, because, I wanted to see, like, where they torture people and, all kind of stuff. But, no, it was like, this is closed off, and that's closed off. Where did the king sleep? That's closed off. So, yeah, it was cool, but it was like, man, I went all this way because you had to ride up a hill, like, a mile or two. And then I was in Berlin. Berlin is the exact opposite of quaint, my friends.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
It's very modern and post-apocalyptic is what it looks like to me, the videos that I see. Like, it looks unworldly.
What does that mean, unworldly?
Meaning it doesn't look like any other city. Oh. It seems like it's something from the future, like from a science fiction movie, with all those crazy all-night, raves and
yes,
stuff. And
yes.
It's a pulsing, beating heart.
And they're having they have raves every night.
Every night, all over the city.
There's somewhere to go. Yeah, it's crazy.
And did you go to those places?
I went to a couple. I woke up on a bench. That was cool.
Sweet. You woke up on a bench.
I woke up to tell somebody, don't fall asleep on this bench.
That's a night. Hey, is this a serious movie, drama?
Yes. Yes, it's a drama.
How much dramatic work have you done, Craig?
I've done everything. Even, comedy is drama involved. So everything I do, is played for serious, and then the laughs come out. But in technical terms, I did this short called Memphis Calling. I played a prisoner on his way to the electric chair, and they give him one last phone call, and he dials a number on his prison uniform. And then he talks to this lady who's like waiting on a phone call from the doctor. She thought the doctor was calling, but it was me. And she was like, she's waiting to find out the sex of the baby. And some kind of way we became, it's not a comedy. Right? I am not a burn off. Okay. So then some kind of way we became these friends over this conversation. And then she's like, the doctor calls. She's like, that's the doctor. Will you hold on? And that was a beautiful moment because I made this friend. Nobody, I had nobody called. And I'm like, yeah, I'll hold on. And then they come in and go, Memphis, it's time. And then they take me away to get killed, and then you see me looking in slow motion, walking past, looking at the phone.
So was it a boy or a girl?
I don't think you understand the part of the story where he wasn't. He didn't know
that's
that.
The best I've ever explained it.
So, was there some? Did Memphis find some redemption by making that connection with another human being, and it kind of made his life worth
yes,
living?
Yes, that's exactly right. Because even talking to it when he first called, he like he had this attitude because he just knew he was going to get shunned by this lady, and in some kind of way they made it. You know, they became friends on the phone.
She named her baby Memphis, right?
Did he ask her to take her panties off?
Wow. No, he didn't ask her to take her panties off.
I feel like that's where most of your stories go, though, Greg.
Ask her to burn them off. Yeah.
That's right.
Boom.
That's right. Are you...
Burn your panties off. What?
What's happening?
So, Craig, you're one of the most reliable go-to guys in comedy, which is why you're in all the great movies. But is there a part of you that goes, man, I want to do what, you know, Denzel does or whatever? I mean, is there a part of you who sees yourself in those roles and wants to do more of that?
I want to do more. You know, just continue to challenge myself. That's what it's about. David Alan Grier one time was like, do what scares you. So, I look into that. Like, I just did this... I just did Spam-a-Lot. I was King Arthur and freaking Spam-a-Lot.
No kidding.
Yes.
Oh, at the Hollywood Bowl.
At the Hollywood,
oh my
yes.
Gosh.
So, and that was like 9 days of rehearsal, and then we were up. It was intense.
That must have been scary. So fun.
Oh, my God. It was fun. Yeah, but it was just like, the first day, you were like learning everything. And, you know, I'm good with the acting and the singing. And then the choreographer, you know, like is teaching as if we're all professional dancers.
Oh,
it was like, okay, sashay, 3, 4, go!
Kickball change.
Yeah, it was amazing. And they did an amazing job. And, you know, that was a shout out. Eric Idle was the narrator. Hello, Python.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's up?
I would feel scared by the fact that it's an established great thing. That you sort of don't want to be the one who ruins it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
that would be my fear.
You kind of push that stuff out of your head. The first day, Ida was like, and you know, hey, remember, it's Python. So if you mess up, too bad. It doesn't matter at all.
Right.
Like, and we were all like, yeah. But we had like Jesse Tyler Ferguson, Christian Slater, Warwick Davis.
Nice.
Kevin Fitzgerald.
All right, we lost Greg. We lost Greg. I knew that you were heading in a serious direction when I saw that you have a movie coming out next year called Sausage Party. I thought, well, this is the role. Mm-hmm. This is the role
Sausage
that Greg Robinson
pate.
Was. Yeah, that was Greg Robinson was bored to play.
Uncle Ben. I'm the rice. I'm Uncle Ben's rice. It's a story about the groceries, you know, and they all. They want to go to the great beyond. They want to get bought and go out to the great beyond, but they don't realize that's where, you know, they go to get killed and eaten. So they want to go, but then they find that out.
I feel like everything you're saying is a lie, and you're just making it up.
You know
what's
crazy? I've said too much.
God, you have a weird life. Right? You have a weird life.
Sausage Party is real. You can look up the premise.
All right.
Okay. I believe you.
You brought it up.
Just curious. Let's talk about Megan Good some more.
Let's talk about Seattle. Look, Megan Good.
Yes. Let's talk about Megan Good.
Yes.
That's a dream casting right there, right? Like, you couldn't even believe your luck when she said yes, right?
Well, you know, it's very professional.
But she's so pretty, Craig.
She is gorgeous.
And you're so irresistible.
Flawless.
I don't know. I mean.
Well, you know, she's married. And, you know, it's not. And we're professional.
Professional.
I have mad respect for everything about Megan Good. And she couldn't have been more fun and awesome. And she's as awesome as you think she is. Like, as beautiful as she is, she's nice.
And that's how your series, Mr. Robinson, starts, is that you want to figure out a way to date her or whatever. So you sign up for a week of substitute teaching.
Exactly.
As a music teacher.
Exactly. I didn't watch it. I don't know what happened. But
did I describe it okay?
Okay. She's actually... You know, I was supposed to take her to prom.
Oh, right.
And I stood her up. And I stood her up because my band had a gig. It was our first paying gig. I mean, come on. That was when we were called Chocolate Love Booger. So now, we made it to this club, Flo Jack's, incidentally named after my parents, Flora and Jack Robinson. How you doing? Yeah. And
well, Mr. Robinson trivia right there for
boom.
You.
Boom. Pie, y'all. And yeah, that's what happened.
So she comes to see the band. You have a conversation.
Yes.
And then, yeah. Yeah. And then she's a teacher and you think, I want to date her.
My old high school. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'll go over there. It's and you know, and like kind of follow her over there. It's way less stalkerish than it sounds, but it's like, it definitely has some stalker vibe to it. And so I go over there and it's like, hey, what's up? And she's like, what's up? No, she's actually like, what are you doing? And I'm like, yeah, I came here to ask you out. And then in the meantime, I fall in love with the kids. They fall in love with me. And the superintendent of the school loved me so much. He loved the band, Nasty Delicious, so much that he, and that's played by Tim Bagley. Oh my God,
that dude's creepy.
He's the funniest.
He plays
dude on
it
there,
really
dude.
Well. Like he's way too excited about your band.
Oh man. So yeah, he hires me to teach at the school. Oh boy,
it was exhausting.
Am I still talking?
You right? I think if we just sit back for a minute, Craig could work out some issues. Oh. Just pretend you're on a couch. And you're comfortable.
Yeah, but the show.
The lights are down.
Yes, okay, go ahead. I'm ready.
And we just want to know.
Megalips.
We just want to know
don't
where you're
start
at, Craig.
Saying that's Megalips. All. Don't. Megalips. That's not a thing.
Are you okay?
Megalips. I am okay. I am okay. That,
okay.
I get a little squinchy. Is that a word? Squinchy?
Nope. I don't think squinchy is a word. But
I like but it. You know, if you like if you see the Megalips, yeah, you I get squinchy.
Yeah.
I'm owning that. Squinchy.
Okay.
Because
okay.
Right.
Somebody tweet that to me so I won't forget. Squinchy. Okay. Squinchy. Or maybe you could substitute the I for E.
All right, Greg. It's squinchy. Time for you to go lay down.
Squinchy.
Son. Time for you to go lay down.
What?
You need a nap or something. I don't
do.
Know. You do.
Craig,
you
the guys are making fun of me. I want to just bring this up before you go. The guys are making fun of me because my locker is just jammed with stuff. And this T-shirt was in it. And Ralph's like,
yeah.
Why do you have a T-shirt that says, take your panties off? And it's because of you, my friend.
Damn straight.
It's because of you.
Right? I appreciate that. That gave me a little boost.
There you go.
Go burn off some of the sleep.
All right. NBC tonight at 9 and 9:30, the fifth and sixth episodes of Mr. Robinson with our friend Craig Robinson. It's very funny. Please watch. And Craig, come back and see us anytime, dude.
Love you. Love you, everybody. Thank you. Good day.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show.
I was unaware people like to watch things on a screen.
7:55.
I was new to it.
This is a tough room.
I'd never seen any film or television before. So I was unaware that visuals are an important component of visuals.
They're making fun of me for being the king of Periscope right now. And I admit, Ralph, I know why you're disappointed, because it has been a while since I've been Periscope.
Too long.
Yes. So
I may need to do that.
Something today.
Nope.
That's a good point, ma'am. Hey, real quick, the 2015 KROQ Summer Sticker is available now at all Southern California Hot Topic locations. So much great stuff you can win. Go to KROQ.com for all the details on how to win that 2015 Dodge Challenger, the trip to see Muse in Mexico City, Hot Topic gift cards, and more. And don't forget, beer mug on the street almost every day, including today at the Hot Topic location in Cerritos, in the Los Cerritos Center. He'll have great KROQ concert tickets to give away and other prizes. Again, from 1 till 3 in Cerritos, beer mug is coming for you. Details at KROQ.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
That's a threat. Beer mug is coming for you.
What about Craig Robinson just in here Felicia Day coming up right off the top of the hour? What about that 1-2 punch? That's fun, right?
Very much so.
I love Felicia. Very
she's
excited
here,
to get her in
she's
here.
She's ready. She's just could not be sweeter and nicer.
Fantastic.
Very fun. First time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
I want to give people a heads up that this Friday night at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I taking the stage yet again for Hollywood Babylon.
No.
And if you've been thinking about coming to see the show, you may want to come this Friday because it'll be the last show in Los Angeles until October.
No.
So if you want to check out Hollywood Babylon, this would be a good chance because next week we take it to Texas. And then Kevin's going to be in Australia for a while, so we're going to take a little hiatus, and we won't be back until October. So
hell no!
Go to improv.com to get more info and tickets if you'd like to see Hollywood Babylon 10 p.m. this Friday night.
Just need to work
no,
out-
no, no, no.
Just need to work out that hologram thing.
Yeah.
Just do it from anywhere.
Put like a Tupac hologram up?
Well,
like
no,
that?
I'm saying maybe
oh,
Kevin's
one of us.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah, we'll work on it.
Just an idea.
Sad news. She was really TV's first female superhero. Yvonne Craig, who played Batgirl on the old Batman TV series, has passed away at the age of 78. She was suffering from breast cancer that had metastasized to her liver. Not only was she Batgirl in Star Trek, but she was also the legendary Green Orion slave girl who wanted to alternately sleep with and kill Captain Kirk in the third season of Star Trek. Also a staple of television in the 60s and 70s, she was co-starring with Elvis Presley in a couple of his films as well. She was a lovely lady. I had a chance to meet and spend some time with her just once, but she was charming and friendly and kind and, for many of us, one of our first TV crushes. So, sad news that she's gone. Speaking of crushes, Jessica Alba.
Yes?
Is in the news. She did an interview with Allure magazine about her, not only her successful film career, but her cosmetics and toiletries company as well. The Honest Company, it's called. And she's the co-founder of that company. It's doing very well. She said she makes her angry when people compare her to Gwyneth Paltrow because just because she has a film career and two kids and a lifestyle company like Gwyneth Paltrow has, she says it's unfair for the two of them to be compared. And not only that, it's downright sexist because no one compares Ashton Kutcher or Justin Timberlake, she says, in regards to their side businesses. So just because they're women, they'd be pitted against each other. And I think in this point, Jessica is absolutely right. There is no comparison between the two because Jessica Alba is hot.
Yeah.
And Gwyneth Paltrow.
Boom.
Where's that? Where's the tuba when we need it? Just saying. There we go. That's right.
Ooh. Ooh.
By the way, I'm...
Good sound, right?
Yeah. What's that?
What is that,
That's
Kevin?
Being said. Ooh.
Oh.
You know what? I have to give Jessica Alba some credit for saying that, because that is not something an observation that I would have made, but she's absolutely right. Female CEOs are compared to one another.
They're always talked about in
reference
to each other.
And that's an incredibly sexist point of view, and I think she makes a valid point
there. But they never do that with men. They say, well, Justin Timberlake has a clothing line, just like, and then they mention some other guys.
How does she balance it all with a family?
Oh. I mean, look, I wish she hadn't said anything at all. No one likes a mouthy broad, but I'm saying if she is going to say something, that at least she made a good point.
You are totes jelly, aren't you, Allie?
No, I'm saying that always comes up with women.
That
How
she
does
kids?
She balance it all with the family? How
she
do you
has
do
children
it?
And a job?
How are you a mom and you work? Oh,
no one ever asks
up.
That about the dad.
No, right? No one ever says that about a man. You have children and you have a job. How do you manage it? Well, first of all, men can manage a lot more than women. That's
I don't
question.
Think that's the takeaway.
No, it never comes to people's minds because automatically you assume a man can handle it. What you're surprised by is a woman handling more than two things?
I don't think
that's why it's surprising to everyone,
all,
I think.
Really.
So that's an excellent point, Allie. An excellent point you make is that women are not as capable as men, and I'm glad you brought that up.
I hate you.
Sci-Fi Network has pulled the plug on Haven. Oh, no, Haven.
Haven?
I have to find out what Haven is and then be upset about it.
Kevin, did you watch that?
No.
I thought Haven was one of your shows, no?
No, Helix.
Ah, Helix.
Yeah. Okay.
But not Haven.
Not Haven.
What about Haven?
I don't know. I don't know it.
By the way, Haven in fifth season now.
Is it?
Haven.
Yeah.
Who knew?
Not me. What's Haven? And why is it canceled and why was it on in the first place?
If it's on the Sci-Fi Channel and Ralph doesn't know about it, that's odd.
I've still got a chapped ass over Alphas. I have never forgave Sci-Fi for Alphas. They took my Alphas away.
Alphas was a great show.
Do not take my Alphas away. Damn it.
Seems like maybe you should let it go now, though.
No, I can't.
Yeah, it's been like
I just had that
year,
image of them
years.
All just laying there, just all dead, not dead. I don't know. We never found out.
But
Alphas.
Didn't they bring us Lavalantula?
They did bring us Lavalantula.
So that's,
good point. That's a make good, I guess.
It might be best if you just let it go, okay?
Today's celebrity birthday is Melissa Fumero. She plays Amy Santiago on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Love her. Love that show. She's 33 years old today. Erica Christensen is 33 as well. Matthew Perry's 46. Let's get him on and interview him. He's a great interviewer. We had a good time last time he was on.
Not do that.
I wrote it. Could I be any more talented? Kevin Dillon is 50 years old today. Kira Sedgwick also 50. John Stamos is 52. Oh, he's falling apart. What a mess. What an ugly guy that John Stamos
yeah,
is.
Sure.
Must be all that Greek yogurt. What if he just slathers it all over himself? Maybe that's why he looks so young.
You're willing what?
I'm willing to find out if he's...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Peter Gallagher, he's 60 years old today. And the former president of these United States, William Jefferson Clinton... turns 69 today. Right? Clinton, right? Who's with me? Clinton, 69?
Oh, yeah, that's how it's done.
Yeah.
Oh,
thank
yeah.
You. Thank you so much.
Oh,
thank
yeah.
You. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's always a lot of fun. We get to welcome somebody to the Kevin and Bean Show for the first time. She created and starred in the hit web series The Guild for many, many years. Co-founder of the YouTube channel Geek and Sundry. You've seen her on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Supernatural, and My Favorite Eureka, and so much more. She is author, actress Felicia Day in studio with us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Felicia.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm bowing.
I feel like, based on the last 30 seconds of conversation during the end of that song, that it's a miracle that we got you out of your house to come down to K-Rock today.
Listen.
A rare public appearance for Felicia Day against her will.
First of all, I admire you, a fan of the show, because you're the antisocial one. So I always am like, yeah, I agree with you, Bean. We were just talking about the fact that I really like to travel alone. And if someone wants to come with me on a trip, I just politely want to decline or lie that I'm not going when I'm in fact there.
What do you think your problem is with people, Felicia?
Listen, I don't mind people. I just aloneness. I'm an introvert. I need the recharge of being cocooned in my house with some pudding and a video game. That's all. Is it unreasonable?
It is not.
Thank you. I support it
100%.
Is part of it because you are so busy doing so many things that your brain just needs downtime, and it's a lot, frankly. It's a lot of effort to have to carry on a conversation with somebody.
I was homeschooled, as I talk about in my book, and I didn't actually get out of the house often to meet with other humans. So I think because I was grown in a bubble, a greenhouse, so to speak, maybe I was a nerd to the fact that, hey, being around other people is the ultimate. I mean, I'd much rather be online, you know, tweeting at people or playing a video game than going out on a Friday. That sounds awful.
But you said you were homeschooled for hippie reasons.
True.
In the book, you say that. So didn't your parents hang out with other hippies?
Not really. Okay. We were isolated hippies.
Okay.
We were isolationist hippies.
I didn't know that was the smallest tribe of hippies going.
I did not know that was a thing. I thought hippies hung out with hippies.
Kevin makes fun of me sometimes because most of my friendships are online friendships. Most of the people that I know that I talk to the most, quote unquote, and that I'm closest to are people that I never see in person. And that bothers him. But I feel like that's kind of where you're at too, Felicia.
Why does that bother you, Kevin?
I think it's just the opposite of the way I am. I have friends and we do things, mm-hmm. and that's good.
Why would you do things if you don't have to?
Because it's fun. That's the difference, is you don't have fun, and you don't have fun, Felicia.
No, I have plenty of fun.
No,
I'm a fun person.
With friends?
Well, you're right. Like, okay, let me just ask you a question, because this is like the introvert test. Right. Do you feel rejuvenated and energized by going out with people for 4 or 5 hours at a party, and you come home and you feel A, energetic, or B, completely drained and want to be in a bubble?
Totally depends on the people. Totally. But there are a lot of people who I would feel great after.
Yeah. Well, that means you're probably more of an extroverted person.
Okay. Yeah.
And then,
but Bean goes further. Like, there have been times when Bean's wife invites me to his house, and Bean will email him and go, hey, you know, my wife invited you over to the house, but feel free not to come. Like, he'll literally uninvite me. And it used to hurt my feelings, but now it doesn't anymore, because I just know that's Bean. He just would prefer not to have anyone there.
Well, my question, Bean, is it because you – I always say – if I invite someone to some place or give them something, I'm like, just be sure you don't have to come. Mm-hmm. Because I'm very self-conscious about pressuring people. Yeah. I imagine that the slightest pressure is literally boring a hole into their skull. So
yes.
I don't want them to feel guilty and feel like
I would be hurt.
Bean.
Yes.
Thank you, Bean.
No, Bean doesn't.
I agree with every word.
I do.
But you don't feel like you're putting too much pressure on people to come.
I don't.
You actually literally want them to not come.
No, A, I want them to not come. But B, I'm super happy. Yeah, that's true. I did try to disinvite Chip from visiting Seattle for weeks at a time before she came. That's
she
true.
Bought a ticket and took the weekend off.
Oh, wow.
And you said no.
You seem to have hide your trail a little bit better, Bean. I mean, you need to be – I have a whole little thing where I'll go. I'll just plant fake Instagrams. I'll save them up. I'm not in town, guys. Sorry.
How great does it feel, though, and Kevin doesn't know this feeling, when somebody cancels?
Oh, God.
Oh, it's the best.
Such freedom,
it's
especially
so
if you get to drive across town.
What's happening?
It's the best.
Yeah. Felicia, you're awesome. Hey, let me ask you this. By the way, Felicia Day, she mentioned her book, and I want to make sure to get that plug out there. It's called You're Never Weird on the Internet, Almost, and it is available now everywhere and is doing great, right?
It is. I just learned it's number 4 book in the UK, and I don't know about the US, but I'm
Check
a best-selling
you out.
Author.
That's awesome.
Nice. Good day, mate. That may not be British.
Yeah.
That's not British.
Nope.
Felicia, this is a legitimate question. Not trying to embarrass you, but you're homeschooled. How
How did you end up so smart? I mean, you started college early. You graduated with a double degree, right?
Yeah.
How did you get to be so smart? Is that from your parents? Were they teachers from day one?
I had a nuclear physicist for a grandpa, and my dad was an engineer, and my mom, you know, we're a hyper-educated family, but in that loony way, kind of like a Wes Anderson way, where,
you know. I love that.
My grandmother had like an owl that she picked up off the side of the road that was dead because she wanted to watch it decompose because she liked the idea of the skeleton underneath. So,
okay.
You know.
Like nanas do.
Oh, sure.
Exactly. Grandma. So I think I have a little bit of an oddball family, and they're very hyper-educated. And, as a result, because I grew up in a bubble, I thought knowing calculus at, you know, 13 was one of the things that girls did.
Did you, as you say in your book, introduce yourself as Felicia Day 4.0?
I did in college, and I'm embarrassed reflecting
on
that.
You would give your grade point average.
To most people. But that's why I didn't have any friends. So yeah. That's why, therefore, I like living in a bubble, and therefore, Bean and I are best friends now.
Did you think when you went away to college that you were preparing yourself for a career in science?
No. I always wanted to be an actor because my dad was in the military, and that's kind of why I was homeschooled. So everywhere I go, I would apply to the local community theater, and I'd be like the fifth can girl on the right. You know, the hello, small plays. You know, the Oliver kid. You know, the seventh in the back where the parents are trying to get a picture, but they're just too far back. Yeah, exactly. That's what I did, and I grew up loving theater because of that. And I thought, hey, I'll get my real degree from my dad, my math degree, and then I'll move to Hollywood and just be a star.
So you know? What was your math degree?
I have it's just a Bachelor of Science in math, and I studied a lot of theoretical sort of topology and geometry. Nothing that you retain after graduation.
But you did that. You went through that whole thing knowing that you were not at all interested in that.
I mean, I was interested. I just love learning. I guess.
Okay, but you weren't thinking, hey, I'm going to go into that field.
Oh no, not at all. Not at all. I mean, I think I think that's kind of the story that I learned in writing the book that when you do things for external gratification or reasons other than your own inner self, I think that's where you get unhappy and you start going down rabbit holes that eventually you're like, hey, how did I end up here? So the good thing is I did pursue acting because that's what I really wanted to do, and that made me unhappy. So then I started writing, and that's why I'm here.
So where did the creative spark come from in your family? Did you guys play a lot of games, act things out as a kid at home?
We played a lot of video games. So I was dialing up to MUDs and playing on, you know, CompuServe, kids.
The early days of the internet.
Yeah. Can you go back to 14.4? Is that where it all started?
Yeah. You know, that kind of.
Remember those days? Remember 14.4 and 28.8?
Oh, we're so old. Yes, I do remember all those. And I remember when we upgraded the modem, it's like, oh my gosh, we're going to dial up and be faster. So it's kind of great. You know, the whole, I didn't realize this until I wrote the thing, that I was like, hey, my whole life parallels like the internet happening. And nowadays people don't understand that there was no video. Like when I started making videos, it was a new thing. Like you could get video on the internet.
Wanted to know how you did video so early, like before people started making videos, it seems like, and it came from your grandpa?
Yeah.
Do you think like he was online for his job or?
I think it was, I got addicted to a video game, World of Warcraft. And then I quit that because it was, I just had nothing to talk about but World of Warcraft. And a lot of people couldn't associate with that. And then I started writing and I wrote about what I knew, which I loved, which was video games and people playing video games online. And when I wrote the TV pilot, people were like, what are you talking about? People play games together?
Yeah, you couldn't even find anyone in Hollywood who even understood what was going on in your script. Because it was so foreign to them.
No, and I think even now some people are like, okay, so I get that people play online together, but I don't even know if it's that regular thing. So my friend was like, there's this new YouTube thing, and we should make a video, and I've been making sketches, and they seem to be doing well. And I was like, sure. Good idea.
So your story, we're going to have to take a break here in a minute with Felicia Day and come back and continue this conversation. But your story and thousands of other people who have come of age in the internet age, I wonder where you would have, like, how different would your career have been had you been born 20 years earlier and you didn't have the internet available because all the doors were closed to you in Hollywood. I wonder what would have happened to these great ideas you had if you couldn't talk somebody else into making it.
They wouldn't exist.
It just wouldn't have happened. There just wasn't a platform.
What's happening?
No, sad.
I'm just saying, right person, right time in history to come along is what I'm saying. It worked out great for you, but I mean, think about how many other people there were in generations past, Felicia, who had wonderful ideas but couldn't talk somebody else into paying for it, and we just never heard about it. It's kind of bumming me out.
No, I think it's great. No, it's actually a good thing because nowadays there's so many people who are able to make a living on things that would not be supported by the mainstream.
That's my point, is now's the time to be a creative person.
I feel like she rescued your point.
It was getting dark.
You were getting dark fast.
All right, I need to go lay down. Felicia Day is here. The book is called You're Never Weird on the Internet, Almost. You Should Buy It. It's excellent. More with our guest in a moment on K-Rock.
Wow.
So we got to ask Felicia to leave now, right? I mean, we don't have any choice. We just got to ask her to leave because she just brought out Tiny House Nation.
What just happened?
It's Tiny House Hunters.
Oh, sorry.
There's two different shows. Thank you.
Sure. We thought Allie was the only person in the world who had ever heard of that show.
I was making it up.
We were like, you're making that show up? Tiny House?
And this is a show for little people,
Tiny
right?
Houses?
No.
Little people are looking for a place to live?
It's a movement.
No, it is a movement because they say it every time in the credits, and I have four back-to-back every night because somehow they make that many at a time.
Yes!
People are downsizing to like 100 to 400 square foot houses, and bar none, they will walk in the bedroom and be like, my king size mattress won't fit in here, and I will scream my lungs out because it's so unreasonable.
How about the one in Seattle with the kitchen table that comes down from the ceiling?
I didn't see that one.
Wait till you see it.
Okay.
Oh my God.
All right.
So
ladies,
what is happening right now?
Ladies, we're talking here. Come on. Grown-ups are talking.
I feel like the ladies are talking, and we're not.
Listen,
Felicia Day is here. The book is called You're Never Weird on the Internet, Almost. Don't let me forget, before you leave, we want to hear your Barcelona story. But why did you write a book, Felicia? Are you trying to – is this supposed to be inspirational for other people? Hey, you can do it too? Is that the point?
Absolutely. No, I mean, I've over the last couple of years, especially since I started a business, Geek & Sundry, that was with YouTube, and now I work with Legendary Entertainment. They're fancy because they do Godzilla and all those things. So I get to make a lot of content for lots of platforms, and I go around talking to advertisers and universities and businesses and about how I got here. I mean, I just picked up a camera. Now I have 12 employees and all this stuff. And when I would tell my story, people would laugh. And then they would also be like, hey, I'm inspired to go create. And I love the internet. So I kind of wanted to write a love letter to the internet that if you're weird and you don't feel like you belong where you are physically, there is a place on the internet that you can feel like you belong. And I think that's a great thing that you're in life.
And you like writing because it's an isolation thing.
Exactly.
You do it by yourself, no other people.
Yeah, you can. Well, you know, sometimes you can write with other people, but I definitely prefer being alone, as we've already established.
How much content do you guys have to generate for the average week on Geek & Sundry?
Oh, gosh. We make we do a live stream on twitch.tv, which is 6 hours a day live. So that's that.
Just
that's
that.
A lot.
Okay.
Just that.
6 hours a day.
6 hours a day of live stream, video game, board games, RPGs. We have one that like 12,000 people watch simultaneously just playing role-playing games. It's amazing.
Unbelievable. D&D. Speaking of role-playing, I was so fascinated. And you devoted a chapter in the book to your... I mean, to the point where it became a dangerous obsession with World of Warcraft, to the point where you went beyond reclusive, to the point where you weren't healthy anymore, you weren't eating anymore, you weren't sleeping anymore. You literally were one of those people we see about, you know, on like My Strange Addictions on one of those shows who almost got swallowed up by the internet.
Don't watch those shows, but yes, probably.
Oh, I love those shows. Those are the best. How do you not watch those?
I was busy watching Tiny House Hunters, Kevin.
the woman eats a brick. What do you need for entertainment? She eats a brick. Dear God.
When you look back on it now, is it hard for you to understand how you got so far down that rabbit hole of World of Warcraft?
Not at all. I think that when you're unhappy and you're unfulfilled, which I was paying all my bills acting on commercials. I would eat Cheetos for money, and it was great. It was a great career. I actually paid all my bills very well, but I had so much downtime, and I didn't know how to fill it with the things that would make me feel like I had meaning in my life. So I love video gaming. I don't think it's inherently addictive. I just use that as the Band-Aid to cover up the things I should have been dealing with in therapy and just kind of getting out there and pushing the envelope of what I could do as a creator. So I wouldn't be here without that.
Have you used a therapist at a point in the start?
Yeah, I talk in my book about a lot of anxiety and depression I went through. And thank goodness that's the thing that people online seem to be responding to, because you don't hear a lot of people talk about the lows, especially when you think about I'm going to be happy if I just get that thing. A lot of us have been like that. And yeah. I was like that my whole life. And that actually doesn't happen. You know,
you're constantly trying to fill a hole and you're not filling it.
Exactly.
I don't think that's at all.
Allie said it, not me.
she's the one with the dirty mouth. So do you have any – do you have an addictive personality at all anymore, or are you able to kind of have a work-life balance that's comfortable for you?
I mean, I definitely – I'm a workaholic. I've strangely turned to my whole – all my hobbies, like video games, board games, comics, fantasy novels. Like, I've turned it into my career. So it is kind of easy to go over the slippery slope and just not turn off because, hey, I got to play this video game for research.
It's for work.
Yeah, it's deductible, guys. But, yeah, I definitely am – I know the patterns of my behavior a little bit more, so I'm able to be more self-aware when I have a panic attack or if I'm, you know, let something get out of hand where I'm like, hey, tap, tap, you are doing this too much. And you need to spend time with the people who would pick you up at the airport if you were, you know, nobody. Those are the people that we need to be spending the most time with in life because they're there when you're high or low.
Felicia's book is called You're Never Weird on the Internet Almost. It is available at all book retailers or online. And do I have this correct? You're doing a book signing tonight, right?
Yes, at Skylight Books in Los Feliz, which is a great indie bookstore. I'm doing a whole book tour in Seattle, going up the coast, but tonight is LA.
All right, before we go, Barcelona.
Okay.
So you're there with your boyfriend, and you have a brilliant idea.
Okay, listen, I heard you were going, and please,
yeah.
I'm going to email you some restaurant suggestions because I want to live in that city so much. But, you know, the hotel was near the square, and there were a lot of women there just standing around in miniskirts. And I turned to my boyfriend. I was like, are they prostitutes? And he was like, yeah, keep moving. But, but you know, we would night after night, we'd go by, and these women looked so unhappy. And I turned to him one day, I was like, can we just hire her and take her dancing just to make her smile?
Just to so she can have a good night.
Aww. I know.
Now, wait, now here's the part of the story though. And your boyfriend says,
no.
What?
I know. Isn't that unreasonable?
What?
What would you have said?
Yes.
Well, Kevin thought dancing was code.
No,
as well.
I didn't.
So,
I think dancing would lead to other things. So you just wanted to pay, out of the goodness of your heart, you just wanted to pay her to have a nice night where she didn't.
I love pretty woman, so yes.
Right?
Okay.
She was Cinderella.
All right.
Sure, she was Cinderella.
Felicia, you are special, my dear.
Quotes around that?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what he meant by that. Yeah.
Just you're awesome. That's
Thank
all.
You.
Just awesome. I'm so glad we got a chance to meet you. The book is fascinating, by the way, and very inspirational. And anybody who is a creative person who wants to figure out a way to get into that next gear, I'm serious when I say this. You should totally read this book because Felicia kind of takes you step by step on how she did it, and you can do it too, right?
Yeah. And it's funny.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it
and
is
it's
funny.
Very funny.
It's very funny.
Book signing tonight at Skylight Books. That's 1818 North Vermont Avenue in Los Angeles. That's in Los Feliz starting at 7 o'clock. Felicia, please come back and see us.
Oh, I'd love to, guys. Thank
Appreciate
you.
Appreciate that.
It's great having you.
Bye. All right. We got to clear the phone lines now at 1-800-520-1067. Mumford & Sons are playing tonight. You know they did the last two nights at the Forum, but tonight they're going to cram it all into a tiny little place called The Troubadour. Huge band, tiny place, K-Rock only show. If you want to go, what are we looking for this time around, Kevin?
Stump Rodney. Rodney Bingenheimer knows everything about this band, Mumford & Sons.
That surprises me. Doesn't seem
everything.
Like this would be his era.
I know. I've been told he knows everything about them.
Amazing.
So if you know trivia or you have questions about the band, please call now. If you stump Rodney, you'll go into the drawing, and somebody will win tickets to see that band, Mumford & Sons, at the Troub tonight. 106.7 K-Rock.
Rodney on the Rock Show.
Oh, man.
KROQ.
Hey, Rod.
106.7 radio show with Rodney on the Rock.
All right, Rodney, it's Kevin and Bean show, though.
All
Kevin
right,
Bean.
Rodney on the Rock Show, Rodney in the Morning.
It's Kevin and Bean. Listen, Rodney, the reason you're here.
Facebook.com.
No, we don't have time. We don't have time for your address.
Rodney in the Mornings.
Okay.
One word, Rodney.
Rodney, help us give away. Okay.
T-H-E. But morning is spelled M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G.
I'm sure it is. Listen, Rodney.
And someone died.
We want you to help us give away some tickets for Mumford & Sons. They are playing the Troubadour tonight.
Nope,
Mumford & Sons.
The Monkees.
They're playing the Troubadour tonight. It's a private K-Rock show. We're giving away tickets right now at 1-800-520-1067. We have been told that you are some sort of savant when it comes to Mumford & Sons. Like, you know everything about this band.
All right, the Monkees and Sons.
No, Mumford
Michael Nesmith's son Christian plays with him now on the
no?
tour.
No, he doesn't, actually. That's not true.
He does.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it true?
Yeah. Monkees.
I didn't know
that.
So the point is, Roddy, this is not about your bands from the 80s. You like the 80s, right?
I love the 80s.
How do you feel about the 90s?
Hate the 90s.
Okay. So we don't want to hear – we want to hear Mumford & Sons questions and Mumford & Sons answers.
I was told Monkees.
What we may have been misled.
520-1067. It's time to stump Rodney.
Can you stump Rodney?
Yeah.
Can you big wham bam.
All right.
All right. So you ask the question, and if you stump Rodney, you go into the drawing. Someone will win tickets to see the band at the Troub tonight. Who's up first?
Let's start with Anthony in Baldwin Park. Hi, Anthony.
Hey, how you doing?
We are good.
Right.
What year did Mumford & Sons form as a band?
1985. All right.
You really think that they've been around for 30 years. You look at those guys and go, they've been in a band for 30 years,
Rodney. Has
it been
30 years since 1985?
Well, sure, yeah.
Wow, time flies.
Okay. Anthony, is that the correct answer?
No, it's not. It's 2007.
85 is a better year for me.
Okay, but that's not the question. You didn't ask what's the best year for you.
What the question was.
Okay.
I'm telling you.
Hold on, you're in the drawing. Let's go to Ashley in North Hollywood.
All right.
Hi, Ashley.
Hi.
Rick Astley?
Ashley.
No, it's Ashley. Her name is Ashley. Ashley. What's it about? All right, what's your question for Rodney?
All right, Rodney. How did Marcus Mumford and his wife, Carrie Mulligan, meet?
She blinded him with science.
Is that the answer, Ashley?
Unfortunately, that is not the answer. They met as childhood friends and were pen pals.
All right.
Science.
You're in the drawing. Congratulations. Hold on. Ralph, you're not helping in here, man. We're just trying to do stuff, Rodney.
Rodney was funny. I thought that was funny. Good work, Rodney. Thank you.
All right, let's go to Brittany in Sherman Oaks. Hi, Brittany.
Hello.
Stump Rodney.
Which band member suffered a brain injury?
Oh. Kevin.
No, not which member of the Kevin and Bean show has a brain injury. Which member of Mumford & Sons has a brain injury?
Bruce Hornsby.
Is that the answer? No?
No.
It's just the way it is.
I'm sorry?
It was Ted.
It was Ted. All right. Bruce Hornsby may not be in Mumford & Sons, Roddy.
I think bear.
All right. Never mind.
You're confused.
I'm confused.
Let's go.
He's confused.
Patrick in Los Feliz. Hi.
Hi, Ronnie. What's the name of the Grammy-nominated documentary they made with the Austin High School Marching Band in 2012?
Kenny Loggins.
That's... No.
You think their documentary about Mumford & Sons is called Kenny Loggins? Wouldn't that just be confusing for viewers?
Yes, I was.
Is it Kenny Loggins?
No.
No. Who is it? What is it?
It's the Big Easy Express.
All right, that's not the same as what Rodney said. Thank you. Hold on, you're in the drawing. All right, so far, Rodney, you haven't answered any of these questions. We were told you knew a lot about Mumford & Sons.
Just wasn't correct.
Right. Okay, let's try Sarah in Pasadena. This seems like a pretty easy one.
All right.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi. What city was Marcus Mumford born in?
Berlin.
Oh, well, that's at least
that's
a city.
Yeah.
Sex.
Were you talking? You were talking about the band, weren't you?
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. What city?
No, Orange, California.
Really?
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 Yeah.
Wow.
Huh. Wow.
Huh. We're all confused.
That's a surprise to me, but okay, if you say so, Sarah. All right, I think we have time for one more question for Rodney Bingenheimer.
All right, let's go to Myra in Long Beach. Hi there.
Hi. Okay, so how many of the band members are married?
99 Luftballons.
It's a number.
Yeah, there's a number in that.
Closer than usual.
All right. Even you know that. All right. Is that the answer, Myra? Is it 99 Luftballons?
Close. No, it's Marcus and Ben, two.
So just two.
Two Luftballons.
No, not Luftballons. That's not part of the answer.
All right. Anthony is in the drawing, as is Ashley and Rick Astley and Brittany and Patrick and Sarah and Myra. They were all able to stump Roddy. Only one will get the final pair of tickets for Mumford & Sons at the Troubadour tonight. Who's it going to be, Alan?
It is Patrick.
Patrick. Yeah!
All right. Butch Patrick, Eddie Munster.
Okay. I just went to three of the wrong lines.
Why? Why don't you just go to the one that says Patrick? Line four, guy with brain damage.
See, I was right.
Bring Patrick up on the air so we can congratulate him.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Enjoy the show.
Let's all stop Rodney now.
Yeah, wigwam.
Ooh, I'd leave it all. I'd leave it all. Ooh, I'd leave it all.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
I'm going to fight Pac-Man now. Domino.
It's Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
And then I heard that Mumford & Sons dropped their banjos,
yeah,
which is cool.
It is actually cool, Friday. You're right about that.
Mumford & Sons.
It's a different band. Yep. Hey, our friend Adam Carolla joins us just after 9. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday.
I'm going to give people a heads up. This Friday night at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I take the stage with Hollywood Babylon.
No.
It'll be your last time to see the show live in Los Angeles for a while because we're going to go to Texas next week. And then we're taking September off. And then we come back in October, but we're playing Vegas in October the first weekend at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino.
Turn it a full-time touring gig.
On October the 3rd. So if you want to come see us in Vegas, that'd be cool, too.
But
if
you
want to see it in L.A. this Friday night at the Improv, 10 p.m., go to improv.com to get your tickets.
No! No! No!
So you're saying maybe.
I think that was a no.
Oh.
No. No.
Right, okay.
No.
Right.
No, 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 no.
Right.
No. 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 N-O. No. No. No.
He might be there. Sad news for Bat fans everywhere. One of our first crushes, TV's Bat girl Yvonne Craig, has passed away. Although she was best known as Batgirl in the TV show Batman back in the 1960s, she was also the Green Orion slave girl who wanted to bang then kill Captain Kirk. And who didn't, really?
Right.
Seriously. Who among us did not want to bang and then kill Captain Kirk? She was also on television, a bunch of different shows she appeared on. She starred in two movies opposite Elvis Presley. It happened at the World's Fair and Kissing Cousins. Started her career as a ballet dancer. Was a dancer for the Ballet Russe, legendary dance troupe. Quite a career, quite a life, and it is sad. I got the chance to meet and spend some time with her, and she was a lovely lady, and she has passed away. Speaking of lovely ladies, Heidi Klum. In the news, Donald Trump told the Sunday New York Times that, sadly, Heidi Klum is no longer a 10.
Heidi Klum couldn't be more gorgeous, first of all.
Well, you're wrong, you're stupid, and a loser, and sadly, she is no longer a 10.
Did what? She criticize Donald Trump? Where did that come from?
Well, Heidi did speak out about how he referred to women and how he talked about women. So, usually, Donald just lets those kind of things just roll right off.
You know, he doesn't
for
at
some
all.
Reason, he took doesn't. He took exception to this one slight criticism and felt it necessary to lash out tenfold against the person, which he never really does.
He does that all the time.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
it's
his,
crazy
that's
how much
his
time
default position.
How much time he has for that.
So what Heidi has done is sort of a get back is she has tweeted a 12-second video which shows her posing with the number 10 on her shirt, and then a guy in a Trump mask walks up to her and pulls the 10 off of her shirt, and underneath her shirt is a 9.9. She's admitting that she's really not a 10 anymore, but it's just really by a 1,000th of a point, really. She just slips
so
a little
she's
bit.
She's doing it with a sense of humor.
Yes, she's responding
like
with a
she
sense
does.
Of humor.
Him, not so much.
Yeah. Right. By the way, Donald Trump should be concerned about stepping on Taylor Williamson's toes at this point. Don't come at Taylor Williamson's girlfriend like that and expect that you're not going to hear from him.
Good point. They actually still have a thing going.
Really? I thought they were still.
I don't think so.
I don't believe
doing
so.
It.
I don't
think
so.
Taylor might that still was, think you guys.
That was three seasons of America's Top Talent ago.
I just consider them a couple in my mind.
Okay.
All right. Cleopatra, Queen of the Nile.
Yes.
Just moving on.
I just you want to say that?
Are we naming historical figures?
No,
what's
no
the category
there?
Here?
Apparently, a new TV series based on her life. She was a powerful woman. She was an 18-year-old girl at the time she ruled Egypt.
Okay.
She was brighter, more intelligent, richer, and a better administrator and ruler than any of the men of her time, says the producers. She turned herself into a mythical figure by constantly reinventing herself. So apparently this TV series will focus on the woman, Cleopatra, Queen of the Nile. No word yet on who will be cast.
I hope she's white.
I'm sure she will be.
I don't know. Historically, I believe she was a woman of color.
then
she would
be
have
white.
To be.
But she has not been portrayed that
she'll be white
throughout the years in movies and television. So we'll have to wait and see. And you guys were just talking about Mumford there with our pal Rodney who stopped by.
Talking he didn't about know much Mumford, about that band.
I think he was confused. Yeah. I think he expected some other strange types of questions. But Marcus Mumford's got a new BFF. Yes. Hanging out at Disneyland last Monday. He was hanging out with none other than Jake Gyllenhaal. The two of them are buddies now.
Oh. Okay.
And while they were there, they ran... Bean approves or not?
I don't think so.
Well, first of all, he was thinking about it. Yeah. And then how did he rule? Because it's
all right.
Was it disdain?
No, I thought he said, all right. Like I thought
it was more,
gave,
all right.
Gave him
like,
a Bean stamp of approval.
It.
Really?
Nope.
I thought he was like, he wasn't.
If
enthusiastic. It wasn't
if
big.
Only we could
it wasn't
ask.
Thumbs up. It just seemed like
no,
more
I felt
passive.
Like he was accepting it.
Yes, right.
See,
okay. I thought it was all right.
All
no,
right.
No, no. His all right was like, I'll allow it.
Yeah, I think he ruled just in favor of okay.
Just slightly.
Don't push it.
He's been dead for years.
Okay.
He doesn't.
I like to think that I'm like the Constitution and I'm out there and available for anyone's interpretation. Every new generation can take away whatever they want.
Right. Yes. Unfortunately,
right.
Yes.
Yeah. Sadly, it's still on.
So Marcus Mumford's hanging out with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Now, while they're
at
Disneyland, they run into Jennifer Goodwin, who you know, of course, from Once Upon a Time.
Uh-huh.
Right? She plays Snow White on that. Josh Dallas and Josh Gad.
What?
All them hanging out together at Disneyland. What? Hanging out with Josh Gad at Disneyland must be like walking around with Elvis at Graceland.
Right?
He's freaking Olaf.
Yeah.
Just melting.
In summer!
You think he's singing as he walks around?
Absolutely. Megadeth.
Nope.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Former U.S. President Bill Clinton. 9 years old today. Peter Gallagher turns 60. John Stamos. Johnny Stay, as I like to call him.
No one calls him that.
He is 52 years old today. Kira Sedgwick is 50. Kevin Dillon is 50 years old as well. Now, Kevin, is that Johnny Drama? Is that Drama in Entourage?
I don't have any idea.
I believe it is.
Yeah.
50? Yes, it is, Ralph.
He's 50? So Matt Dillon, his older brother, is also an actor, must be even older.
Mm-hmm.
Being an older brother and all.
Sure, if he's an older brother.
He looks youngish.
Bean, how do you rule on them?
I think they both look great.
Okay.
They do. They're a young-looking family.
Right.
Matthew Perry's 46 years old today. Eric Christensen is 33. And Melissa Fumero. Amy Santiago from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. She's 33 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Adam Carolla is going to be in Thousand Oaks Friday night at 7 o'clock with special guest Howie Mandel. This is Friday night, August the 28th, by the way. Tickets are on sale now through AdamCarolla.com. If you want to see that show, Adam Carolla Show Live, AdamCarolla.com. By the way, the one thing about Adam we always know is we can get an opinion on him on any topic, and that's why we started this new feature called What's Your Take?
Adam Carolla, I want your take. I want it right now. Adam Carolla, use your wits and your know-how. Adam Carolla, what's your take on what is going on? Adam Carolla, what's your take?
Ace Man!
Yeah, man.
You ready to get it on?
Yeah, man.
All right, we need your take on this story. A national debate has sprung up around something that Pittsburgh Steelers James Harrison has done. He's a linebacker for the team. His kids are involved, and we can't figure out what sport it is, but some sort of sporting event at their school, and they received participation trophies.
You know James Harrison?
Yeah.
You can picture James Harrison?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm just going to say the obvious answer and say they're on the crew team.
They might be on the crew team. It doesn't say.
Well,
the trophy.
That's the obvious. I mean, I don't want to stereotype, but if you Google image James Harrison, and then you again, I don't want to stereotype, but that's what those people do.
It's possible, yes. It's the best of the batch trophy that was given to his 6-year-old son and his 8-year-old son, and it does have several sports represented on the trophy. But instead of taking the trophies home and putting them on the shelf in the kids' room and saying, way to go, kids, congratulations, James Harrison took the trophies back, is giving them back to the school and saying that the trophies will be given back when they earn a real trophy. They're not entitled to something just for showing up. This is a participation-only trophy, and I'm against it. What say you, Adam Carolla?
Well, I agree with him. I mean, the kid was probably
probably only on the curling team, but he may not have won any championships. Number one, I am standing looking into my son's bedroom right now, who's 9 years old and has never accomplished a thing in a short period of time on this planet, but I am staring at a lot of bling, a lot of medals, a lot of gold. It really looks like a Liberace safe deposit box in there. There's a lot of gold, and I walk past it every once in a while, and I go, wait a minute, he's never even come in fifth in anything he's done. Why are there so many trophies in there? And I'll tell you, first off, God bless James Harrison. True story, my son, as you know, does long-distance running, nothing more scintillating than watching eight-year-olds go in a circle very slowly. By the way, if you want to see an eight-year-old run, all you have to do is say to him, get me the universal remote, and they will actually run.
Wow, who
and
knew?
Go do it. Yeah, if you really want to see the kid run. He got eighth place in one of his events, and after 5 hours at the track, I said, good, let's go home. And he said, no, no, they're doing the medal event. And I said, yeah, but you got eighth place. And they're like, oh, no, everyone's taking the podium. And they literally went all the way down. The person that won first place was on the top of the podium, gold and silver, and then they just kept going. The guy who was in sixth place was standing on a serving tray, and my son actually dug a hole and they put him into it up to his knees. He was eighth place, but they just kept going. And it drives me nuts. And by the way, this means nothing to these little self-entitled pieces of crap when they get older anyway. Kevin, you played football, right?
Yeah. Yes.
All right. You played some Pop Warner, high school,
yep,
whatever.
Both.
I have a million participation trophies because I played 10 years. I don't know where any of them are. They don't mean anything to me. Actually, the one thing that means the most to me is a piece of paper, and it's a recruiting letter from Cal Poly Pomona asking me to play football when I was in high school. It's just a piece of paper. That means way more than any plastic that sprayed gold with a fake marble base on it could possibly mean, because that is earned.
But, Adam, let me just play devil's advocate here, and I don't disagree with you. But, yeah, it's easy to look back as an adult and say, I don't care about the participation trophies, because now you've gone on, you've had a life, you've accomplished some things. What about what it does for the 8-year-old, though? Doesn't it make the 8-year-old feel good and make him maybe be inclined to participate in more events because he does get some sort of positive feedback, even if he's not great at it?
I don't think anything that everyone gets makes anyone feel good. As long as there's a big, long line where they're just handing out, whether it's trophies or Aston Martins, we live in a society that if everyone gets one, eventually they're worth nothing.
If everyone's getting an Aston Martin, I want one.
Yeah, I'm in line.
You say that now, but when you go down a street and you see some guy eating fast food in his and some 17-year-old chick driving hers, and you're stuck behind grandma, it wouldn't mean as much. It'd take a matter of weeks before it didn't mean anything. And here's all I'm saying. I think we need adversity. Like, you're not getting a trophy, you didn't do good, you need to work harder. James Harrison was on the special teams, by the way, for the Steelers. He was not a starting linebacker, and he evidently worked his ass off and became a starter because he was on the special teams, which is basically second string.
Right.
So he knows it. But here's the bottom line. I always look at this analogy. When they put the astronauts in that outer space to make them stay at the space station, they lose bone mass, they lose muscle, because there is no gravity. It's zero gravity. It's no adversity. There's nothing pushing back on them, so they start to atrophy. And if we have nothing pushing back on our kids, then they atrophy and they lose their muscle and their mass. You know what? I'm going to go throw away all my kids' trophies right now.
I don't think I would do it retroactively.
No, I'm doing it. James Harrison, what high school, what grade schools his kids go to?
A lot of people are agreeing with you and James Harrison, by the way. Kurt Warner came out and said they don't let kids pass classes for just showing up. They shouldn't do it that way in athletics either. So he kind of agrees with you there.
Yeah, I'm with both guys, and they're both different, but I agree with them philosophically. And again, if life didn't work that way, we're not preparing kids for reality. That's what's happening. Because later on, you can't just show up to work. You have to do something.
So you should have said to
your son, Bean, you don't have to show up to work.
Right.
You don't have to do anything. But in general, I think you get what I'm saying.
So you should have said to your son, you came in eighth place. You need to do better next time.
Oh, my God. I just opened the closet the other day and saw the home run ball with the date on it from the time my son hit the middle of the tee and the ball fell forward and the pitcher threw it over the first baseman's head and the first baseman threw it over the third baseman's head. That is my son's home run ball, the ball that traveled 9 inches from the plate. As a matter of fact, if they just walked away from the ball and waited for him to circle around, somebody could have just picked it up and tagged it out.
Adam Carolla is on TV Sunday nights at 10 on Spike with Catcher Contractor. See him a week from Friday night at the Borderline Bar and Grill in Thousand Oaks with special guest Howie Mandel. That's going to be a very fun, very special show. Tickets available through adamcarolla.com. Ace Man, have a great week. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Adam Carolla, what's your take?
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:36.
Vance Joy. Monday, right here at K-Rock in the Red Bull Sound Space, he is going to be performing live. Of course, you can watch it at krock.com, but wouldn't it be more fun for you to be there in the audience in person to see him up close? Sure, why not? Give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. Callers 20 and 21 right now if you want to come to K-Rock and hang out with Vance Joy. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, boys and girls.
What's up?
We lost one of the terrific trio.
Terrific trio?
Terrific trio. You had your dynamic duo. And then the third season of TV's Batman TV series, you had the terrific trio, Robin, Batman, and Batgirl, Yvonne Craig, has passed away. She was 78 years old, passed away on Monday. She had been suffering from breast cancer that had metastasized to her liver. Besides being Batgirl on the Batman TV series, she was also the legendary Green Orion Slave Girl in the original Star Trek TV series, who wanted to sleep with and consequently kill Captain Kirk. She was kind of using her sexual wiles as a way to kill Captain Kirk. So she was using her sex to kill, much like Ally McKay does.
Thanks for noticing.
So you'll notice none of Ally's ex-boyfriends are still alive.
No, they're all in the trunk of her house. Yvonne Craig also co-starred opposite Elvis Presley in two of his feature films, It Happened at the World's Fair and Kissing Cousins. Originally started her career as a ballet dancer before she got into movies. And sad news, because I got a chance to meet her once and spend some time with her, and she was charming and lovely and could not have been nicer. So,
Did the King have a comment?
Dave, the King of Mexico?
Elvis Presley. Did Elvis Presley have a comment?
No, Mark and Brian, he didn't. Truth Be Told is a new fall NBC sitcom starring Mark Paul Gosselaar. And new cast member added to that cast, Ashley Tisdale, will play his sister on the show. That seems like appropriate casting, right? All right.
Maybe seems not. Perfect.
Vanessa Lachey will play his wife, and Tone Bell and Brisha Webb will be also starring on that show. Heard a lot of good buzz about that sitcom, so I'm looking forward to seeing it. Speaking of casting, Kelly Brook is going to take over Pam Anderson's role in the new Baywatch film.
All right.
So we'll get to see Kelly Brook running down the beach in that legendary, iconic red bathing suit.
She has two vaginas.
No, she does not have true. That at all. She has two something else.
Ooh.
She beat him off. She's built at Kelly Brook. She is
statuesque.
Very attractive.
Yeah.
And Jennifer Hudson is in talks to play Aretha Franklin in a new new biopic about the legendary Queen of Soul. The producer of Straight Outta Compton apparently is developing the film, which will show Aretha's rise to fame in the 60s and 70s, along with her difficult relationship with her ex-husband and former manager Ted White. Oh, why the manager got to be white?
Just his last name.
That's what I want to know.
Just his last name.
Huh?
Just
Who's
his,
with me?
Just his last name.
Jennifer said the only hard part will be gaining 4,000 pounds to play the role. So she lost all that weight, too, on Jenny Craig or whatever, and now she's going to have to put it all back on and then some. She's going to have to eat Gabourey Sidibe in order to play Aretha Franklin. That's the bad news.
Seems extreme.
That's the bad news. The good
Aretha's
news is
not a small woman.
She can sing like the Dickens when she's in her cups.
That is great casting. Great casting, though.
Yes.
Jennifer Hudson. Great
Oscar casting. Winner Jennifer Hudson playing the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin.
No, she's fine.
Boom! Drop the camera.
Yeah, it's good.
Do they drop cameras?
It's a movie, you know, so I'm guessing you do.
Drop the camera.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Former U.S. President William Jefferson Clinton, 69 years old today. Peter Gallagher, 60. John Stamos, soon to be seen in Fuller House. He's 62 years old. He's got a new show, too.
I hope
show.
You mean 52. He's not really 62, is he?
52, I'm sorry. 52. He's got another
Although
show.
Although
it doesn't matter. 25, 75, it's all the same to John Stamos.
Yeah, I think he's in a program called Grandfather,
That's
if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he becomes a surprise grandfather. Kira Sedgwick is 50 years old today. Actor Kevin Dillon turns 50. Matthew Perry's 46. Erica Christensen celebrates her 33rd birthday. And Melissa Fumero, Amy Santiago from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. She is 33 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Everybody's emailing us and tweeting and Facebook. They're all saying, where can I meet Beer Mug today?
Yeah,
that's,
I know.
Everybody
yeah.
wants to know. It's crazy.
Unstoppable.
You can get the 2015 K-Rock Summer Sticker now at all Southern California Hot Topic locations. And Beer Mug will be in Cerritos, in the Los Cerritos Center. The Hot Topic store there from 1 to 3 today. You fill it out. You send it in. You could win a 2015 Dodge Challenger, a trip to see Muse in Mexico City, a $500 Hot Topic gift card, and more. Go to KROQ.com for details. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We have Dr. Drew on the program.
Not a real doctor.
I think he is.
I believe he's a real doctor.
Doctor degree not included.
I think he is. Maybe we need to settle that tomorrow.
Drew's only pretending to be a doctor.
I think he's an actual doctor.
Not an actual doctor.
Jim Rome, talking sports. He's back from vacation. Very excited about that. Jake Johnson. From New Girl. He's got a new movie called Digging for Fire. And I'm going to try his name. I'm just going to try it. Just throw it out there. Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Wow!
That was one.
That was great.
That's one of the ways you could say his name.
No, that's his name.
It is?
Okay. Yeah. That's one time. The
well,
one
let's,
time.
Can we edit that and
it's
save
gone.
It? No,
can
shoot.
Just put it
it's
on a
gone.
Button so next time you ever talk to him, you can just hit the button.
Bummer.
Over
he's got a new movie called Z for Zacharias. We're going to talk to him tomorrow, as well on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.